evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Aiken City Council work session this evening, February 12th, 2007. We have two items on our agenda, the farmland preservation of Aiken has a presentation to make to us, and a memorandum of agreement on roadway improvements. So, Mr. LeDuc, would you like to kick that first one off, please, sir?
Yes, we have Mr. Ron Monahan and Mike Randall, who dodged over here between snowstorms to be with us, and they would like to talk about a development that they are proposing along the Chime Bell Church area road and the realigned area of the Anderson Pond Road. They are also the developers that are currently working and installing the infrastructure at the ridge at Chucker Creek, the quasi-residential horse farm area. So with that, I'll, Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind, I'll turn it over to these two.
Yes. Thank you, Roger. My name is Ron Monahan, and I'm the president of FBA, Inc., which is, in fact, building the ridge at Chucker Creek, 114 acres, which is annexed into the city of Aiken, and the company Solstice Meadow, which is in the county just south of that. If we could go to our first slide. We have some slides here to share with you. That is the ridge at Chucker Creek. We hope to get a grading permit next week. We hope it's going to come this week. So we're that close to starting the roads in that development. And again, it's equestrian. It has a series of equestrian, pedestrian trails throughout, and approximately around 10 miles of trails. And And just below us, we have a lake right here, and that sits on almost 70 acres of land. And there's a photograph of that lake. And we've just started with speaking with Dacre, with Acolt. The intention is this year to put a conservation easement on that whole area, and everything you see on the left going up the bank, to the, which would be to the south, and probably deeding it to the city of Aiken after the conservation easement is on it. And we plan to do that this year. I'm going to try to get it done as quickly as we can. We've started that process at this point. The idea is, those are my little children standing there, and hopefully their grandchildren, we're going to be able to be down there. It'll be open to the public, and that'll be preserved forever. So below the pond, this is south of the ridge. South of the pond is our second development. We kept this property, 168 acres, in the county. It's six large parcels, 21 to 30 acres apiece. There's a series of riding trails between each parcel and along the right-of-way there. The road has just gone in. The road's paved because at the time we reluctantly signed off with the county to pave Anderson Pond Road. And so we decided to pave our road as well. And then the next thing that happened is I was talking to the Ashmore family, and we were going to do an equestrian tunnel underneath what would be the new Anderson Pond Road paved. When I entered into contract to buy that parcel, and if we can go, okay. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. So we have some goals that we know we share with the city of Aiken, and it's part of the reason we've entered into buying the 500 acres below the two developments I've just showed you. And you can read them there, but the main goals for me personally and for my company is the extension of the trail network. Right now, on those three slides I showed you, we have approximately 25 miles of pedestrian, equestrian trails. In the heart of it, there's 60, 70 acres with a lake that's accessible to anyone. And we want to continue that further down. So the new land we're talking about tonight, what's really important to me is the trail system that it'll provide, and it'll extend the existing trail system we have now, and it'll probably bring us close to 50 miles of trails if we're able to develop that 500-acre piece combined with this. Also, there's another area of opportunity for open space to be preserved on that one as well. It's a beautiful stream. So now, if we can go to the next slide. This is a stepping back, looking at where we are. That's Anderson Pond, right there. That's existing Anderson Pond Road, which everyone, I'm sure, is familiar with. This is our ridge at Chucker Creek. There's our conservation land. There's interlinking trails. And then there's trails between each of these pieces. This is our Solstice Meadows. And that goes down to the Anderson Pond Road today. This is Hollow Creek. That's just been approved with Woodside's new Fuzzy Zella Golf Course, 1,200 homes. And at one point, the Anderson Pond Road was approved by the Connector Committee to pave it and make that the Connector Road. And I think if we move ahead, I can show you. And again, here's Anderson Pond, just for reference, and here's our Solstice Meadows. But when I became under contract for this 500 acres, it became apparent to us that if we were to give up land 100-foot right-of-way, and by the way, the Anderson Pond is only a 50-foot, 40-foot right-of-way right here. There's a bit of a bottleneck. It would be approximately a mile less asphalt as opposed to going the way it was planned on going. The Connector Road Committee looked at this. We had meetings, and we had meetings with a lot of the neighbors. We got a lot of positive feedback. And the Connector Road Committee unanimously approved this alignment. So what I did is I hired local engineers, and we engineered it to give them more information. And we gave them that information, and apparently the Aiken County Council has approved funds to engineer the rest of this alignment. So they're behind us at this time. You know, Scott Singer's here. He can verify that. So this is a strong possibility that this alignment is going to happen. The property I'm talking about this evening is 500 acres approximately. It's the boundary is right here. I'm hoping, again, to put trail system through it. Sure. It's a little bit, this makes it a little bit clearer. That was kind of difficult to see. So someone who gets on a horse on a ridge development in the city can go through the conservation lands, come down through Solstice Meadows. If this alignment takes place, the county would abandon the existing Anderson Pond Road and we would dead end it approximately right here in front of Harriet Delaney's property. And it would stay dirt road. We would maintain it. Be private maintenance agreement would put on it. I would give up, and my neighbor, Mr. Robbins, was willing to give up 100-foot right-of-way, and I'd request that we annex in a large portion of this land. My goal is to have an area much like this right here, this wetlands, this beautiful stream that goes through. It needs to be protected. North of this, this would stay in the county. Larger parcels of land, equestrian use. And this is a very preliminary concept plan we've put together. So it doesn't show all the trails. It doesn't show the layout accurately. We want to work with you to work on that. But again, the trail system would work through here. Most of my equestrian land purchases want to be in the county for the tax benefit. Scott's working on legislation to up the zoning here, so a minimum of 5 acres. You know, on myself, I would put more than that, a restriction on me. I would want over 5 acre parcels. I wouldn't go below that. I'm self-regulating what I do in the county there. Then there would be the protected area of the wetlands. And below that, this is what I want to talk to you about this evening. Below this wetlands protected area, this is what I'd ask to bring into the city of Aiken proper. Now, again, this is a preliminary. We're trying to see where to go because there isn't a comprehensive plan. We don't have a roadmap. You know, we know it's been done, you know, all through the city, and we really want to do this right. And we're hoping to connect other properties to it. Everything I've shown you above, it's been several purchases of property to bring one property together, and then to connect them all together with the trail system. And I'm hoping to connect this to it too. I'm not buying properties and separating them and isolating. This is an area that's growing it in continuity as a whole with this trail system. That said, neighbors here have agreed to put up easements on their properties to access into our trail system. Chinebell Farms agreed to a perimeter trail, which allows several homes here to put easements on, bring them in. I want to bring this trail system down. When I get to this area, we are asking if we come in to the city of Aiken to have a retail commercial area. We've put 600,000 square feet on our request. It's a concept we're asking. We're not looking for any kind of big box stores. This is not the intent. And through zoning, we can regulate that. I envision a country store and a filling station. From all the meetings I've been with the neighbors, that's what they're all requesting. They have to go quite a ways to get those services. It's going to be, hopefully, equestrian-related businesses will be whatever goes in there. I don't know what's going to go in there at this point, but that's pretty much where we are there. If you can go to the next slide, Mike.
Before you leave that one,
yeah.
Ron, how much of the land there is going to be in the county, acre-wise, versus the...
Mr. Mayor... from there to there is about 120 acres.
Okay, and that's out of the 510.
Correct.
100, so out of 510.
Is that the way conceptually?
Yeah, no. Sorry. Right.
We said 150 acres.
Okay. I'm just curious about that.
And there's a natural boundary with the stream that runs east-west, and it makes sense to preserve land around that, and that's a dividing point. For the rural county farms, which we're really trying to encourage, and we're trying to preserve the scenic view of the farms, so it makes sense. And also, I have neighbors all along here that are county, and they have several of them have horse properties, and I would expect to put horse properties behind them, just so I don't have an impact on anyone that's a neighbor that's less than what they have. You know, my parcels will be bigger than their parcels, and there'll be a riding trail in between us. And I want to be a good neighbor to everyone, and I think we can achieve that because, you know, this land it's the raw land. You know, the right of way only affects any neighbors on each end. So, having said that, because this would be, over the time, get a lot of traffic, we're proposing putting, there's a green space right here, that's one thing I know, and there's a swale, and we're going to put a horse tunnel underneath, and there's a little red flag right there, and this is already engineered, and that's exactly where, I can tell you one thing on this property, that's exactly where a horse underpass and pedestrian, approximately 14 feet tall, at least 14 feet wide, would be placed. So, you know, we wouldn't have a situation like we did last year in Whiskey Road at Hitchcock when that horse was struck. So I'm mixing equestrian with traffic, but that's the precautions we'll take, and we'll certainly fence around there. On the next slide is back to, well, it's just a little closer of the last one we showed, but the trail system hopefully, you know, will extend this way. Zipper Robbins is here. He's got this piece of property next to us, and we're hoping to extend south with our trail system. I think I can.
Excuse me, Ron.
Yes.
Could you show me Zipper's property on that?
Absolutely. He has approximately 400 acres, yeah. And it's from right here, right across there, down a little bit off the map, right okay. there, and it follows Hollow Creek, just like that. Beautiful piece of property. Mm-hmm. A lot of social trails on it now for equestrian, but that's the next piece of property.
Thanks.
Right there. I kind of lost my place.
Okay, we're at the end.
All right, we're at the end.
Hey, we're at the end.
So what am I here tonight for? I have control of that 500 acres. I do not own it today. Jerry Ashmore is working with me. We've got a great business relationship. Couldn't be here tonight. We've taken it this far. The reason you're seeing that alignment, that connector road, is I've worked with a lot of people in the county and the city and the neighbors to get this up on this slide. And I'd love to go the next step. I want to bring more trails into Aiken. I would love to see the you know, equine way of life preserved in those larger parcels and the new parcels below the old Anderson Pond Road. And there is no comprehensive plan this far south at present, I don't believe, for the city of Aiken.
No.
And I'm asking you for some guidance to help me bring this into the city of Aiken. The city of Aiken wants this, and I hope they do. I do.
Tell us a little bit about the homes that you would put in there, the value of those properties, that kind
absolutely,
of thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I plan to do, if we can go back, Mike, I don't know if you can find a slide of Solstice Ridge. I don't know if we have one that shows the home. The existing three sections of the development I've done. Right there, I guess it's close enough. You can back right there. What I've done on this piece of land is we have annexed in this area. There was approved for 270 homes. We have conservation land, and we have larger tracts. If we flip this exactly upside down, I mean, it's just a concept at this point. So these county lands bump into these county lands, a little bit smaller farms. They probably won't be 25, 30 acres unless someone wants them to be 25, 30 acres. And then there'll be a conservation belt. And then my residential, which at this point was showing right here and perhaps right here, will be, you know, I was here a year ago tomorrow, you know, and I hope my homes would be in the mid-200,000s. And I can't build the quality home I want to build for under 300,000. So I'm looking at around $310,000, $320,000. The covenants I put on the top will be all brick, quality homes. And they'll have a lot of open space. This development here, 270 homes, 114 acres, your requirement's 20% open space. We came in at 33% open space, just on the top. You know, and then if you throw put the 70 acres next, that's 100 acres, so it's 50% in the end of open space. These homes that we build, the quality of them will be a high-quality home. And using cluster concept, we'll have, you know, I know we'll strongly exceed any open space requirement we have. We've done it up on top. I'm going to, you know, duplicate that, hopefully duplicate it better. So if that answers your question about the quality of the home.
Okay. Want to have some discussion on this? Any comments by council members? If not, I'll make my comment. I think it's a good plan.
Mr. Mayor.
I like the idea that you're going to have some commercial in there. Excuse me, Beverly, I guess I got started here. I like the idea you're going to have some commercial in there for small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more pods, if you want to call them that, or whatever you want to call it, places around the city that we have some commercial with grocery stores and some of those things that you run out to at the last minute sometimes and don't have to go all the way to Publix or don't have to go all the way to Kroger or wherever you may go is good. And with a conceptual design, if this is approved, then council has every right authority to determine what the size of the buildings would be, if not exactly what they're going to be. But that would tell us all that there are not going to be any Walmarts or anything else there like that, no big boxes. So I like that idea. I like the trails and the price. The only question we might have here, of course, is what does it cost the city to put in the infrastructure, the water, the sewer? And you don't have that answer, I don't think. But,
no, but there is. I'm willing to offer. The city, I understand, is lacking in more water resources. I've spoken a little bit with city engineers, and I'm happy to offer water treatment facility on this property, perhaps in the open space, perhaps not. And I understand it would need around 5 acres to put 5 or 6 wellheads in a treatment facility. Right now, I have capacity. I have connectivity from the ridge down. We have some water and sewer capacity. But there's a bigger plan here, and I think the city really needs to look at that because its growth is going to continue. And you mentioned the hodgepodge. And if you step back, maybe take a look at this. I think there's opportunity for other adjoining properties that are going to want to join the city of Aiken.
Well, there's no question in my mind, and probably in no one's mind, that something is going to go there.
Oh, yeah.
That area is going to be developed. And we get into the same discussion every time we go next to county property. Something's going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
So we either have the opportunity, in whatever decision we make, to have some authority over that property and be able to manage it. Or we say no, and then we can't manage it. And then we hear all this stuff about you got to manage your growth, you got to manage this, you got to manage that. You can't manage anything that you don't have some authority over. I don't think you can. I've never found anything that I could manage that I didn't have some authority over. So I think it's a good plan. I think we ought to go to the next step in it, a comprehensive plan. It'll be a what? We've got a list of some, how many items, Roger? I don't know, 20 items here that we will be discussing the priority of, things that we need to look at and make decisions on over the next year or so. One of those on our list is the comprehensive plan, getting the committee back together and what have you. But I think that could be months and months. And I think that we've got to be flexible enough that we can make the good decisions without having to wait for a comprehensive plan that's going to take months and months, mm-hmm. and who knows how many months.
Mm-hmm.
We worked on the last one, I think, for 2.5 years before we had something final. So that's my 3 cents worth on this. I like the idea of it. I like the idea of the trails, the equestrian trails, and if we can manage it, which we can, if we bring it into the city for the conceptual plan, then I think that's the best of all worlds.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, we did have someone in the audience. Scott Singel was here, and he wanted to
okay, sure.
speak. And
Scott, you want to?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to bring some background to the council, to kind of understand a little bit about both the Connect Road Committee, its role, and also I think where county council is going to fall out on this. Okay. Let's see if I can work this thing. How do you push that? Okay, there you go. All right. The Connect Road Committee had originally approved an alignment that kind of utilized more of Anderson Pond Road, kind of swung around the bottom of the pond. Mr. Monahan approached the Connect Road Committee after we had given that preliminary approval and indicated that he was going to take down the Ashmore property and presented an alternate to us, which utilized basically the alignment that you see in front of you now. I think what's really, really important is part of the condition of him bringing that forward was a density that was going to be no more than 1 unit per 5 acres. And so while he's certainly preserving an awful lot of additional open space, the density is going to be much, much higher than that. And I'm not saying I'm opposed to it. I just think that that's something that we ought to sit down, both the county and the city together, and work out. Because all of these folks that live in this area that's currently the county, we've been holding town hall meetings for the past 5 months, and these folks are extremely, extremely concerned about large-scale commercial development in this area. In fact, I've actually got forth a proposal for an RH5 zoning, which basically limits any parcel to 5 acres, and the folks that live east of Hollow Creek, which basically comes down here, east of Hollow Creek over to Whiskey Road, are pretty much in agreement that that's where we need to go. And so this development certainly impacts that tremendously. Okay, a little bit about funding. Okay, right now the county has about $1.3 million in a bond issue assigned for the paving of a connector road, or Anderson Pond Road, the Southern Connector, whatever you want to call it. In addition to that, we have $750,000, which is in capital project sales tax 2, which brings our total up to $2 million. In the discussions and negotiations with Mr. Monahan in moving this road, one of the things that we were very, very emphatic on is that Mr. Monahan would have to donate the right-of-way, plus he would actually either have to write a check or doing work himself to put this roadbed into the same condition as this Anderson Pond, existing Anderson Pond Road. See, one of the, Mr. Monahan is absolutely correct. We have 50 foot of right of way. One of the reasons that this was so attractive to us is we got 100 foot of right of way versus right now we have 50 foot of right of way through this area. Okay? So, in order to build the road to the standard that we need to build it to, we needed at least 67 foot of right of way, and possibly for down the road, the more right of way you can obtain now, the better off we are. But I can tell you, if we're going to start seeing a lot of large scale commercial development, then I would be predisposed to bring a connector road canoe back to the table and look at that original alignment.
That's right.
And I think there's two connector road canoe members that are sitting here right now that, that their recollection may be different than mine, but this is, that's basically how I recall things. I'm not saying that we say no to this, because I do see a lot of merit, and I think Mr. Monahan has always been up front with us, and I've enjoyed the relationship that we're developing thus far. But I do think that the county, the city, the impact of properties, including Mr. Robbins, Pat Cooney, who represents the preserve, and if we're all going to kind of sit down together and kind of see what's going to work for all of us, not forgetting all of these folks that live in this entire area here who really don't want to see large-scale development. Okay, they want to see that this area be pretty much maintained, and these are, for the most part, fairly large tracts.
Mr. Singer, if I may please.
Sure.
There's two things that I'm hearing here. One thing is the property of Mr. Monahan is speaking of smaller retail development, not a large-scale retail development, which I heard you refer to. And another thing is Mr. Monahan has also said in his presentation that the properties around this development, bordering properties, would be of greater acreage than the property in which it borders. So if these property owners out in that area, if their property were to border this, and instead of having a five-acre piece of property next door to theirs, if they had a seven-acre piece of property, which, there is no owner of that piece of property at this time, then the development would be on the inside of that and not bordering anyone else's.
Not exactly, Councilman. The area that Mr. Monahan's talking about, fairly large development, is large properties, are, is in this area here. Okay. Yes, these are large horse farms in this area here as well. But when you're talking about all this area here, these are large horse farms as well. In fact, you have right here, you have Luke and Liz Goddard's place, which is hundreds of acres. And I agree wholeheartedly with small retail and small commercial. Somewhere along here, a country store and a service filling station, I could certainly buy into that, but that's not what I envision when I envision 600,000 square feet. 600,000 square feet is in the neighborhood of Aiken Mall. That's a different animal. So, I'm not saying I object to any of this. I'm saying that I think it's important that the county, the city, and the affected property owners all sit down, because we all had a pretty big stake in how this gets developed. That's all.
Could I ask you a question? You said the proposed zoning for the county in your new, in the proposals is a five-acre
minimum.
Well, I sat on that committee with the Connector Road, and we never ever thought about 50 acres of commercial space on this, in this area. And if what you want is a quick shop, a country store, and a whatever, I don't know why in the world you need 50 acres of commercial space. That's my comment on that. The other thing is, let me think what else I need to ask Scott. So you're seeing this as the county is going to propose that size of development. That size of lot, is that what I'm
saying? Yeah, let me, right now, the zoning request that went in front of the county was basically brought about by these property owners along this area right here that were very concerned with, when they heard that Mr. Monahan had purchased the property, that there was going to be either high-density residential development or commercial development. And so we had a number of town hall meetings with Mr. Monahan present where we received assurances that that was not going to be the case. the property owners here asked me if I would go ahead and initiate a zoning change, because right now this property, most of it's zoned RUD, which basically means if it's not a medical facility, a nuclear waste dump, or a salvage yard, it goes. Mm. And so I initiated that zoning request. Well, I expanded it to about 6,000 parcels. And so what happened as a result of that is some folks, particularly on the western part of Hollow Creek over here, objected to that. So we formed an ad hoc committee that's coming back to me with recommendations. And what's coming down the pike right now is that folks that are east of Hollow Creek want the lower density. Folks on the western part want more restrictions than RUD, but not necessarily 5-acre minimums. Mm-hmm. So I suspect in the next couple of months, I'll be initiating a zoning request, probably multiple zoning changes for this entire area down here. And all I'm saying is with the county, we put the $1.2 million in the bond issue, the $750,000 in the capital project sales tax, the $2 million that we're bringing up to the bar, so to speak, on, was all contemplated on this being a true connector or bypass, not a corridor for creation of additional commercial.
Correct.
It's a different animal. And I just want everybody, to be aware of that.
I have a problem with this because, Mr. Monahan, I mean, here we go again. We got part county, part city. Part of this city area is down as far south as New Ellington, for goodness sakes. And yet, you've got a big old chunk ahead up above that's in the county. Well, I mean, why don't you keep it all in the county or bring it all in the city? So then we can do some real organization. But I think what the main opportunity for this piece of property is for us to meet with the county and the Connector Road Committee and get something done. With besides, I mean, we've had too many citizens involved in this to let a few people make the decisions on this, frankly. And I can't look at the just people in this audience, some of whom have come to hours and hours of meetings, and think that we're going to say, oh, well, we're going to have 50 acres of commercial space, and then we're going to have this, and we're going to have that. Why do you want to come in the city? Is it because we have zoning?
No,
it's because we have utilities. We can't even sell you the water, right?
Well, actually, you can. We've researched Mike Randall and myself and our team. If I can respond, they're all very good questions, very good concerns. When I leave Whiskey Road and I drive down Chine Bell Road, there's the Two Magnolias Farm. There's a miniature pony farm. There's Chine Bell Farm. It's a scenic. We talk about conservation easements. Easements on scenic. That's 18 horse country. What I'm proposing right here in this area, 100, 120 acres or so, is to preserve more of that, to have horse farms. These buyers don't want to have their farms in the city because of the city taxes. They want to have horses. You supported me right here and allowed the people who want to live in the city, walk up to Chucker Creek School, live in the city proper, have 911, have all the services, and still to have some horses, or to look out at horses, have that experience. I'm trying to provide a broad range of marketable properties for a wider segment of horse enthusiasts. So yes, I'd like to keep this in the county, to allow the people to afford to live there with less taxes on their horse properties. Nothing will be under 5 acres. I don't know the exact acres. Nothing will probably be under 10 acres on that 120 acres. When I met with the neighbors, I met with a lot of them, with Mr. Singer, and these people expressed concerns. And again, this piece behind it would stay county, abutting up to their property, and there'll be a perimeter trail. I've done perimeter trails with the city here before, and it'll probably be 50-foot trails. There'll be buffer. There'll be equestrian trails. The back to, I think that there's a fear when we put a number on the square foot of retail commercial, and we put 600,000 square feet. I'm just proposing this right here to the city. I want feedback.
Well, I think the scary number to me is 50 acres. That's a lot of commercial space.
If we could turn this around, it's a starting point. You don't have a roadmap for me. The village, Pat Cummings Village, 94 acres. It's 50, 94 acres of land. 50 acres of commercial. It's 290 homes. I don't have a roadmap. There's other developments around. I'm looking at that. What I'm proposing right here, that's blank with the connector roads. I want the city's advice. I'll This is just a concept. It's Mike Randall with a red magic marker and a green magic marker. It's a starting point. Mm-hmm. So please, at this point, on the 50 acres, Jane, please try not to get hung up on that. I want feedback.
My feedback is that's way too much.
Okay, that's good feedback. We can write way too much right on there, and it'll become way less.
Well, I got to tell you, that's the way I feel about it. I can't even look at these neighbors and tell them that 50 acres is good out there for commercial space.
I heard 50 acres today myself. I'd always looked at it as square footage, potentially, over the next 10, 15 years. And it surprised me to hear it put as 50 acres. It sounds like a lot of retail.
Other than a quick shop and a... Oops. Maybe a tax shop or whatever. What else would you be putting in all that commercial space?
I don't know. At this point, this is conceptual. I do know from going to the neighbor meetings and talking to as many people as I could, a little country store, the coffee shop, is one. I think that's number one. And a pump station, a fuel station, is number two. I haven't spoken to anybody who would be a potential candidate for... to build commercial retail there. I think it would be equestrian related, I'm hoping, because of the equestrian nature of the south side. So again, I have no design on what would go in there. It's a starting point. That area of retail commercial, I don't have a master plan at this point. I really want to work with city government and see if we can find something that everyone can be happy with, but that's commercially successful for us as well. I don't have to answer your question. I don't know how I would even feel that if it became that much.
Let me say I agree basically with what's been said by Jane. Certainly. And Scott Singer, but I have some sort of fundamental problems. A month or so ago, we turned down a project that was reaching out into the Montmorency Water District. And it was really outside of what I considered our natural city limits. We had a comprehensive plan that was drawn up, I believe, because Anderson Pond Road was considered the natural city limit to the south, and thereon it would be greenbelt open country. Having said that, I'm still very, very much against extending the comprehensive plan any further. I believe you got a wonderful concept.
Thank you.
I think a few acres of commercial, as someone called those, I think we had once in the plan as a node, a little commercial node would be fine, but 600,000 feet, of course, I thought was excessive. And really what it comes down to is if you do it at the sort of density we expected when we agreed to change the course of the road, mm-hmm. you don't really need city water or sewer, and you could stay in the county and do that beautiful plan, still have all the horse farms and everything without us. And to me, then, you would help us define the city limits which need to be defined.
Well, you mentioned, Dick, the beautiful green belt below this connector road, or Anderson Pond Road. Scott Singer told you he's concerned about it. We're all concerned about it. It's zoned 1 acre. You could put whatever you want there.
The county's working on it, and I'm.
I realize that. I support that as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do. I support what Scott's doing.
Yeah.
And I'll raise the bar for myself on my county property.
But in a sense, we're subverting what he's trying to do by going ahead and okaying higher densities in an area where we don't want it.
Of course, when we are talking county, city, and me personally, I would love a component of this in the city. I want to be in Aiken City. You were wonderful a year ago, tomorrow, on the top part at the ridge by accepting our development into the city, and you know the alternative would have been to keep it into the county. And what's happened since then is you know Hollow Creek's annexed into the west of me. It's coming.
Ron, if I may, I would just like to compliment you and your company on what you've done with the Ridge Chuffer Creek. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a wonderful equestrian development. You're working hand in hand with ACOLT on conservation easements on property. To me, the city of Aiken is not going to stop growing. It's going to continue to grow. And this type development, the quality of development that you're putting in there, is what I would like to see our city continue with. I realize that there are some hang-ups on some of the commercial property, and absolutely, you know, I for one would not like to see a flat top box go in anywhere out in that area. But you know, if these are things that we can work through, and we can, the city of Aiken can maintain growth in the character in which you're putting it here, that's what I would really like to see our city.
That's dialogue I'm hoping to start tonight. We put this before you. We're looking for input. Bottom line, if you have control, if exactly why we hope to bring it to Aiken, you'll have control of this. You don't want it. You're going to tell me no. I'm not going to do it. I would like to. I have to start somewhere. There's no framework for me to see what's allowed and propose that to you. You know, if this is outrageous, give me some guidance. You know, we'll get this on track, and if we can come together, I'd love to negotiate. Yeah,
the next step for City Council is to decide, and we'll be talking about this later on, as far as the action agenda that Planning Commission will be taking for the next period of time. But do you want the Planning Commission, and again, Scott has stated also the getting together of a joint city committee to sit down and look at this area, or is there no interest whatsoever about extending the comprehensive plan to this area? You know, to me, it's almost premature to say how much acreage, commercial and residential. That's going to be part of that comprehensive planning process that the Planning Commission has to look at, and then they'll bring that back to City Council, and then you'll have the opportunity to decide, you know, first of all, do you want this in the comprehensive plan area, and then what should be the division between residential, more of an open space type area, versus if you want any commercial, or how much commercial should be in that area. That there's a process that has to go through. Tonight was to find out, does council even want to take the next step to look at that process and determine where we need to go as far as our southern limit for the city of Aiken.
I think we need to take the next step. As I said earlier, I am concerned with two things that I didn't understand earlier, and that is the 50 acres. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the country store and maybe a gas station and
Sure. Absolutely. Maybe
a couple other little things, which is certainly,
we can,
that could be 4 or 5 acres, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And also, Scott, you brought up the 1 unit per acre thing. I think you said when y'all talked, no, one unit per 5 acres.
We, no, you're proposing currently.
No, that's what when we change the alignment here, we had the discussions with Mr. Monahan that the totality of his property would not have more than 1 unit per 5 acres.
Right.
Now that could be that there could be some cluster housing, but if you took all the acreage, say it's 700 acres, it could be no more than.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he's showing 1.5 units per acre,
no,
if I'm reading this correctly. When you put it all together,
650 dwelling units is what he's showing as a total.
Oh, yeah, total. But I'm looking at the other column.
But then we got 400 acres immediately adjacent to it that is doubtless could have come in and asked for exactly the same thing. So let's give them 350. We're talking another 1,000 dwelling units between Silver Bluff and Whiskey, which we're talking then roughly 8,000 trips a day, which actually when we started out with the connector road was supposed to handle somewhere between 6,000 and 8,000 a day that it was going to take off of Whiskey Road. And now what we're going to do instead is create another 1,000 homes, 8,000 trips that are going to have to disperse along those roads on the Whiskey and Silver Bluff. That we're really going in the wrong direction.
And you think that won't be developed land, Dick? You think that land will not be developed?
Will be developed, but I think a lot of it will be developed as horse country, and it's not going to be developed with this intensity unless and until someone gives it water and sewer.
Well,
that's really the key that we're talking about here today.
That may be. Of course, there's enough land there. You could have your own well.
That's right. You can have your well, and you can have your well, and you can have your septic tank. But it's sure going to be a lot different than 650 homes on that kind of acreage.
Well, undoubtedly, it won't be as many. I agree with that. But I don't agree, and I guess maybe this has been an age-old question. I don't agree in the natural boundary for your city. I sure am glad we didn't have a natural boundary for our city when Woodside was talking about coming in, and we would say, nope, sorry, not going to go there. I think you've got to look at what you're talking about, look at the project, how well is it managed, what's going to be there anyway, and we hear all this stuff about the south side not being developed. You know, why wasn't that developed to start with? Well, it wasn't developed. The county didn't develop it at the time, and the city went to, when we moved here, Burgundy Road was the last road in the city. So there was no land plan for the rest of it. Now, what we're talking about here is a possibility of maybe, having some area there, large area, that we can land plan it and have some managed growth. Now, if we just arbitrarily say we're going to draw a circle around the city and that's it, we're not going to go any further. Oh, man, what's that city going to be there? We're going to have all this stuff outside, like we've got on going to Augusta with all the junk cars and what have you, and you can't do a thing about it because it's right outside your city limits. So
you've
got to look at each project, each parcel of land, each opportunity we have to make something better that's right outside of our existing land. Not say that necessarily we're going to draw a line and we're not going to go any further. I think that personally is wrong way to go.
But this isn't right opinion. Outside. I mean, why don't you want to see all this in the city then, so it's all connected and we all have all this management going on? Again, we're getting a big old hole in the middle
that
here
that
we're not going to have anything to say about.
That would be fine there.
But I mean,
if you don't take any of it in, you're going to have a big old hole there anyway. So you're going to have a bigger hole.
When is Scott's committee of the county meeting about the the 5 acre stuff?
I put the proposal forward for the RH5, but I think I probably did off a little more than an opportunity. And so that actually was scheduled to go in front of the Planning Commission in January. I postponed it to allow more citizen input, and particularly for folks who are concerned about the RH5 west of Holland Creek. I think there's pretty much consensus. There's one or two, well, there's a gentleman who owns the junkyard on Whiskey Road. He doesn't want it, but he's probably the exception to the rule. Most folks that live on this area, east of Hollow Creek, all the way to Whiskey Road, are pretty much in favor of a lower density. But it's clear in my mind, and I do appreciate the opportunity to address council tonight. I'm not here to talk about whether or not the borders should be, what the borders of the city should be. That's really not the argument that I'm making. The argument that I'm making tonight is that we chose this route knowing, or having a good understanding of what we thought the land use plan was going to be. In fact, the impact of the route itself. Because Mr. Cunningham is very fond of saying is that it's important that you do proper land use planning as where you place this road. And that's absolutely true. The route that we selected is based on a certain understanding of what we thought the density was going to be. Now, I'm not saying that what Mr. Monahan's proposed here is wrong. In fact, I love his developments. Okay? I like the way he does it. I like the way he thinks. All I'm saying is let's the city, the county, representative of both, and the affected property owners sit down, just like we've been talking about so much, and make sure that everybody's interests are taken into account when we finally come forward. And I don't begrudge him for coming forward. I mean, that's not an issue tonight at all. My issue is let's not charge into something without first taking all those different interests.
Okay. Well, let's take it to that next step. Let's have the committee. That sounds like a good idea. Okay. Sit down again and talk about it.
Well,
what does council think about it?
I think I can make my point again. I'm definitely opposed to that, but
And really, to go back to the connector road, because that's where this all started. We had a plan. The committee met for 2 years, decided that there should be a good connector road in order to take traffic off of Whiskey, and that would start at Glenwood. It would run diagonally down along the lake on a power line easement, and then come out to Anderson Pond Road and go through. It was the shortest, best route that we could come to. Then, because we had a development underway, which was then phase four of Woodside, they really objected mightily to the idea. So we ended up, all right, we set a compromise, we'll do Anderson Pond Road. It won't be nearly as good, but we'll do that. And so we go ahead and do that. Then we get a better for another option. As Scott made the point, that option was to go longer. We pave less, but in fact, we've got the beauty of these nice horse tracks that'll be out there, and it'll be fine. There was nothing about it ever coming into the city when we agreed to that. But now that's where we are. And we used to talk about salami tactics, and in a sense, and this is not to Ron anybody, but I think we're the salami, and we keep getting cut up by these things.
Well, we haven't made a decision. We're saying let's talk about it some more.
Yeah.
We're not deciding anything here tonight except to go further or not go further. So
I'm saying let's not.
Okay, well that's one opinion. That's fine. That's what we're
doing. I think I heard two really good points here, and one is that we probably don't need at this point to define the borders of the city and say we're not going past a certain point. That we need to remain open-minded about where the city can grow. The other thing is that something I've said time and time again is every time we get a connector road or we build an access road to alleviate traffic from one point to the other, there always seems to be more traffic created by the development that goes onto the road. So I am somewhat concerned about the size of the commercial development that you want to put on that new part of Anderson Pond Road. I think when the city and the county gets together, it might be that you could rethink the size of that and maybe come to some terms as to how we could best fit what you want, which sounds really good to me. I mean, it looks quality, it sounds quality, but I have to tell you that it's been a concern of mine. Every time there is a connector road or a road put in to alleviate traffic from some other point, then that develops to the point where it becomes crowded. And you need just look at the south side to see what has happened with that. But I do think we need to keep our options open, Mr. Mayor. I think we need to go as far as we can where it's reasonable, where the development meets some type of good criteria as far as being a quality development. But I also think we need to be concerned about what we put on new roads and also creating a donut hole in the middle of doing a nice development. We should look at all those things when we meet with the county to see exactly what is the best thing to do at this point. But certainly I'm not of the mind that I want to stop the boundaries of the city at this point. And you do have a nice development going here.
Thank you for that.
Okay, our time is getting late here. Why don't we just agree at this point we'll determine how we can get this committee together, Scott. Maybe you have ideas or not, but you can take it back to your county council. And
I asked the city to contact us, and we did this afternoon for that end.
Okay.
This entire area, obviously, is all within District 2 of the county council. So I'd sort of like to be involved, but I also think that Mr. Bunker, who's district, is on the eastern border of Whiskey, and then the western part of Silver Bluff, and the impact of our river system, which are a little have to put on some of it as well. And then we're going to meet the city and determine.
Okay.
We'd have two or three members.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have two or three members, too. Scott, thank you for being with us and voicing your thoughts and from County Council viewpoint.
Well, Mr. Mayor, one more quick thing. I just want to say that we made an agreement with New Ellington about 4 years ago as far as the provision of water. And this entire area is really within, I believe, is that correct, Roger? It's within the area that we signed an agreement with New Ellington that they would be providing the water to that area.
Okay.
The agreement we signed was for the Whiskey Road area, but not this. It didn't extend into this area. But this is, according to the county plan, the New Ellington water area. They don't have any water here, but this is their area.
But it is their area.
Well, that's an issue that will be discussed as well.
Yeah, with New Ellington.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you for your time. Sorry it took so long this evening, but I'm looking forward to working with City Council.
Right.
This is a start. I don't have a roadmap.
Right. This is a start, right.
Thank you.
Sometimes we have to start without a roadmap and develop as we go. Thank you all for your presentation. We had one other item, but we're gonna put that off. We're gonna add that to the end of the agenda, I should say, because of the time. So we'll go ahead with our city council meeting at this time, and I'd like to welcome everyone here, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our council meeting on February 12, 2007. And if you would, stand with us for our prayer and our Pledge of Allegiance.
Oops. Oh, excuse me, Dad.
Dear Lord, we thank you once again for the beauty of the day, for our community, the blessings that you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have as citizens and council to come together and talk about these issues. Some are easier than others, but many of them take a lot of discussion, and that's what we want to have, and so that we make the right decisions and the final analysis. We thank you for our citizens that are here and those that participate with our government. We need that input, certainly. Lord, we want to ask you also to be with the Pastor Holmes family. Pastor Holmes died on Wednesday. He was pastor of Mount Anna Baptist Church. After 28 years, he was known as the Dean of Pastors in Aiken. And we will miss him. He was a friend. He was a man of integrity, of character, a leader in our community. And we just pray for his family. Give them strength at this time, at the time here of their sorrow. And lift them up. Give them energy. Give them peace and joy. And we thank you for, again, the opportunity to come together to cover this, to talk about issues that are so important in our community. And we pray that you give us wisdom and guidance as we go forth and talk about each and every item, that we might do the best job we can for our community and for our citizens. We ask this in your son's name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're going to do it after. We're going to add it to the agenda.
Okay, are there any additions or deletions to our agenda?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. As you stated, to the transportation improvement program that was on the work session, we certainly would like to add that to the end of the agenda tonight. Okay. And also, I had handed out a list of a number of issues that have been brought up over the last several months, and the list is getting longer and longer and longer, and I've outlined what we hope to get done in February, what we hope to get done in March, But there's still a long list here, and I'd like to get some guidance from council as to, do we just have some special meetings? Do we just kind of add longer agendas? How would you like to go ahead and handle these items that we have before us in this list? So I'd like to just talk about that briefly.
Yes, okay, sir. Anything else? If not, do we have a motion and a second to accept the agenda then as amended?
Mr. Mayor, I move we accept the agenda as printed with two amendments just brought forward by the city manager.
Okay.
A second.
Second. Okay. Any discussions? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor. Passage unanimously. Next item is minutes. Consideration of the minutes of the work session and regular meeting of January 22nd, 2007. Any discussion there? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor. We approve the minutes.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. All in favor, show of hands, please. Passes unanimously. Under old business, the first item is appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have only five pending appointments before us, which is pretty good, and we have one to present before you tonight. And that's the appointment of Marilyn Brown be reappointed to the Environmental Committee by Councilwoman Clyburn.
Okay, sir, thank you.
I'd also like to, Dr. Gene Eisen has resigned from the Environmental Committee, and I would like to nominate Mr. David Stoker of Kershaw Street, who is head of the Aiken County Open Land Trust. I think he will make an incredible member of this committee, and I appreciate his willingness.
Okay. Well, why don't we go ahead and vote on the one that's on our agenda, and of course that would come up the next one, Jane, the next time.
Fine.
Beverly, would you like to make that motion?
Yes, I'd like to move that we reappoint Marilyn Brown to the Environmental Committee.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Pass it. It's unanimous. Okay. Any other nominations for the next agenda?
Yes, I have three appointments to make, Mr. Mayor. One is to the Design Review Board. The person to be recommended is Valise Cummings. She's a native Aikenite, young, bright female that's quite involved already. And sir, I have the address for you to give and the phone number. The second one is with the Park Commission. Mr. T.A. Hammond served on that commission for a number of years and recently passed. So I'd like to appoint Brian Parks to the Park Commission. Brian is a native Aikenite employed with SCNG and would be an excellent member of that commission. He's already working with our Public Safety Department with our youth. So that is an excellent appointee there. And the third appointee I'd like to make is with the Aiken Planning Commission. Roscoe Brown has tendered his resignation, and that appointee would be Leonardo Brooker. He's at 104 Mossback Circle, and I'd like to recommend him for that appointment.
Is that Brooker or?
Brooker.
Brooker. Okay. Any
others? I have those names and information here.
Any others? If not, okay. They'll be on the agenda then next meeting. Item 2 is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex 3.46 acres on Town Creek Road at Seven Oaks Drive under the RS6 zoning. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. First of all, you have an amended ordinance that you were given out earlier this evening. So that's the one that I'm going to be working off of. Some of the language did not get changed from the previous one, so this is the language that you had asked for, especially concerning that 50-foot buffer. It's an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the city of Aiken, certain property consisting of 3.46 acres of land, more or less owned by Lionel Greer, and to zone the same residential single-family RS6. At the last meeting, you asked the developer if the property that abuts to the Gem Lakes neighborhood could have a 50-foot buffer. They felt they wanted to take a look at this. They did look at it, and they have come back, and we have a plat here of what they feel the development will look like, which is on the back of your second page. and they feel they could definitely get in a 25-foot buffer, but it would be difficult to get in a 50-foot buffer. Now, in reality, once you put the detention pond in and some of the other portions of the development, the house is probably going to be at least 100 feet or more away from that area, but that dense, undisturbed buffer area is not available to get in here, at least according to this plat. Now, in saying that, when you go ahead and rezone this to RS6, it's a nice plat here, but they could come along later on and change this plat and not follow this. The only thing that they would follow would be whatever requirements you state. For instance, one of the requirements is stating that there would be no more than 10 homes. So again, on this acreage of 3.46 acres, they could have no more than 10 homes. How it's configured, it would probably be very similar to this, but it's not going to be, they could sell this property tomorrow, build RS6, as long as they don't have any more than 10 homes. If you agree to the 25 feet, which they're asking, again, the 25 feet is a standard that they would have to abide by, but again, they wouldn't have to abide by this plat here. If you ask for 50 feet, the same thing. So again, whatever you requirements you put in the ordinance, right now it's stating 10 homes and the 50-foot buffer that would not be disturbed. Again, they're asking for 25 feet, but the plat gives you a representation of what they hope to build here, but it's not a concept plan that you'd have under a PR zoning. It's just, in this particular case, it's their concept plan, but it does not get, they will not be bound by it because it is a RS6 zone, not a PR zone, if everybody understands what I'm saying. You did have first reading on this last meeting. This is a second reading. This is a public hearing on the annexation of 3.46 acres of land on Town Creek Road near Seven Oaks Drive under the RS6. And just one last thing, the property adjoining this, which is to the eastern area, southeastern area, was rezoned by council a number of, I want to say at least a year or so ago, and that also is RS6. So you do have RS6 on the other side of it. I think the biggest question is that 25-foot buffer that they're requesting versus what you had asked for before, which was the 50-foot buffer.
What would it take to get the 50-foot buffer?
You would have to ask that of their engineer here tonight.
Is he here? Who is that? Yes, ma'am, please do. Now, this particular plat shows 9 houses, by the way.
Excuse me?
This shows 9 houses, what we're looking at.
Right, but again, the last meeting we said no more than 10. I mean, you could say no more than 9, you could say no more than 8,
right.
But again,
right.
That's something you could state.
Yes, sir.
Darren Prickett, 1804 Magnolia Court, North Augusta. When we last spoke, we were asked to consider the 50-foot buffer. I felt very confident that we could accomplish that. That again, not having the development plan in front of me, we went back and sat down with the owner. We really looked at what our long-range goals were, the type of architecture we wanted to try to bring in the development. We're looking at doing something a little bit more traditional, but we want to have some flexibility in the floor plans and the homes that we're going to build. I have a little narrative there at the bottom, if you can read that. The owner intends to develop patio-style, single-family, detached homes with emphasis on traditional architectural design themes, high-quality construction, comfortable living, responsible preservation of green space to the greatest extent practical. What I'm trying to tell you there is that whether we have a 50-foot or a 25-foot buffer, the goal of this development is to provide single-family homes on a 60-foot wide lot in RS6 zoning, similar, if not to a better architectural standard than we're going to have on the property next to us, or at least equal to, that is already zoned RS6. When we got studying this, what we found was that if we were restricted by a 50-foot rear buffer along Jim Lakes and along the property behind us, the property that's in the county, we would not have a whole lot of flexibility in how we could situate the houses on the lots. We are trying to develop a 2,000 square foot footprint, one story. It could be bigger than that, depending on the zoning. We're restricted by zoning there. But we want to be able to articulate the street such that we don't put the houses right on the 20-foot front setback. Being an architect and an engineer, when I put my architect hat on, that doesn't appeal to me. What we would like to do is to be able to step the houses back at the varying setbacks, create opportunities in the front yard to save trees, but also to give us some separation from the streets, from the street and the streetscape. By restricting us in the backyard, that really does restrict if we can do a detached garage, a swimming pool, and other site amenities that you would normally see on a single-family home. So we come to you with hat in hand to allow us to. We would support the 25-foot buffer in how y'all describe an undisturbed buffer, with allowing us the flexibility to step the houses along the street yard.
Why does the buffer at the end of the road keep the house in the middle of the road from building a swimming pool in the backyard? I don't understand.
Because we're trying to maintain a certain amount of area in a rear yard for whatever a homeowner might want to do with their property. I mean, how that's restricting us and how we might be able to do other ancillary structures.
But the houses are going to face the road, correct?
Sure.
And the road is perpendicular. I mean, the houses, the back part of the property with the 50-foot buffer is on the south side, correct?
It's on two sides of the property, on Jim Lakes and on the county property. There's two. You essentially have two rear buffers here, two rear yards. You have one along Jim Lakes, which is 219 feet long, and you have one along the county property, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of 600 to 700 feet long.
What's the setback on the east and west sides of the property?
With the detention pond, you're going to have in the neighborhood of 75 to 80 feet.
Well, let me say this. What's the setback? Maybe the road curves here, and we're not talking the same directions, I don't think.
Jane, excuse me. Are you looking at this diagram?
I don't have it with me, but I've looked at it all day, so I know what it looks like.
Okay, that's what we're talking about. We're referring to this diagram.
Correct. Right. In other words, you've got that road that goes in there. Mm-hmm. On the left side of that road, what's the setback?
It is. I don't have it detailed in front of me, but I would assume it's 20 feet. We have 20 feet from the edge of the property. We're not going to have houses there. It's a road. You know, there's really no side setback there. It's just a road.
Now, yeah. Now by setback, are we talking buffer or something else?
Well, I don't know. I'm asking him. The road's going to be 20 feet from the eastern property line.
Right.
From the property line on the left. Is that what you're saying?
Right. The road is essentially in the backyards of the property that that Rusty's developing. I'm sure I don't remember his name, but the other developer. Our road is pretty much paralleling our property line with him. We don't have lots on that side. It's just a single fronted.
That's what I noticed.
Roadway.
And that's, yeah, I've seen
right.
That. Yeah, I know. I really do know that. I've seen it all day.
Probably 20 foot better. So, better. Mm-hmm.
About 20 feet.
Is this sketch in scale?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
So it's really. Mm-hmm. To the detention pond, it's 25 feet. So to the edge of the road, it doesn't look like 20 feet.
That's about 20 feet there.
The road itself is 24 feet wide. So from the back of curb to the property line is about 20 feet.
Probably about 20.
It doesn't look like that on scale.
Right. It's about 20 feet from the back of curb to the property line.
He's talking from the not the right away line, but the curb.
Could you answer a question for me?
Here's 25.
Right here.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm looking at house number 5.
The right-of-way line is almost 10 feet.
Yes, ma'am.
The fifth house from the end of the road.
From the road end, just
right.
But maybe I should wait.
Yeah.
If that's 25,
it says right there 25 feet from the rear building line.
It's only 50.
The buffer, what is the buffer on the R6? The big piece here. On this side of your lot. In other words, there's a buffer on yours we're talking about, and then there'll be a buffer on this piece too, right?
I don't have that.
Put those two together. What is that total?
Ed, do you know if Rusty Finley's property has a buffer? Did we set a buffer on his side? Have no clue. We did not put a buffer on his back.
No, you did not.
Is there a setback, though, that's required in that zone? Yes.
The back of his house, of Rusty's house, would be the house would be 20% of the depth of the lot from that back property.
So it's a 100-foot lot that had 20 feet. But they could clear-cut that. They could do whatever they want to with that.
Well, that's true here as well.
Not if we designate.
No. Not if we designate, they cannot cut it, which is in the ordinance right now. We're saying they cannot go ahead and whatever they set aside as the buffer.
So you'll have a combined buffer then of more than 20 feet, obviously. It's going to be more like 40 feet or so, you think, Ed? Something like that. Albeit part of it might be clear-cut and the other part will not be.
I'm wondering if that doesn't apply to each lot. It has to apply minimally so that you can get, because not all of them are going to be set the same distance from the road as what it looks like here. It looks like there's a varying distance from the road to the backyard on each one of these houses.
There may be, there may not be. We don't
know. I'm just trying to illustrate that how the flexibility that we're trying to achieve here and how we can place the house within the ordinance requirements. Again, the ordinance as of the other night, we're talking about the buffer. We go back to the ordinance before we talked. There's no buffer that we have that is stipulated. We're trying, we talked about that only in the fact that the owner is adamant about maintaining a vegetative buffer between our property. We're adjacent to county property. We're hoping to be annexed into the city. We want to treat it as though, we want to treat our development as though we are in the city and not in the county. And in that fact, we're still, we don't want to, we're going to be building homes, we're going to be building patio style homes for empty nesters, a lot of living space on no double story. We're not talking about that right now, but we're trying to make sure we've got the room we need for those ancillary elements, whether it be a pool, a woodshed or something. Who knows what it could be? It's something that the ordinance does allow us to do. And when I went back to the drawing board, it really, with the owner, we really felt like that we were restricting ourselves somewhat by doing that. But we do come here again in good faith, asking for a 25-foot rear buffer, being restricted to what the ordinance already has.
But we went to 50 because you said you could do 50.
We felt like we could, but I didn't have the luxury of doing a development plan just yet. We're still in the annexation stages. We will move into that very, very soon after this.
Did you say the last time that the reason you asked for R6 is because of the width of the lot? That was the problem?
I don't want to call it a problem. We were looking for RS6 only in that it helped in the overall scheme of things and in our concept. It works for us better than anything else. Plus, we have precedent set next to us, RS6. We're wanting to try to mesh the two together.
The property on the right side, as you face your property on Town Creek Road, where they're building those houses now.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. How far are they set back from your property line? They look pretty close to me.
Mm-hmm. Really have no idea. I wouldn't hold that development up the same type of standard that we'd want to. We're not
now, those are larger houses, though, than you're going to be building, are they not?
I'm not sure exactly. We're going to be building something similar to that, but we're going to have paved roads. We're going to do a little better than what they did.
Did you say?
Have you seen that development?
Well, they haven't finished the road, have they?
They're pretty far along. They're living in those houses with unpaved roads.
They're what? They're going to have unpaved roads in that little bitty area?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's gravel. We're looking to do paved roads.
Well, one of the reasons.
Yeah. So,
if you look,
just illustrating that we're really looking at doing a very nice development here, and again, we want to provide a buffer. We feel like 25 is going to be easier for us to do a better job in laying our houses out, and I'll leave it at that.
You do have trees all along.
Did I, Mr. Mayor, have a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Did I understand you to say that these are possibly 2,000 square feet?
Well, right now, we're looking at patio style homes, one level, 1,000 square foot minimum.
Okay.
We're looking at, they could be 1,800 to 2,200.
Right.
We really just don't know yet, but we're going to stick to the standard set by the zoning ordinance, a minimum size single-family home.
Okay. As I recall, Jane, listening to what you said, at our last discussion, the comment was made that given the varying sizes of the lots,
yes,
and you were trying to look at what would fit properly, given the width, because they're varying width there, and you indicated you thought you could live with 50, the setback of 50, and you've revisited this. And I don't want to say it's a problem. You could get a better home if you had some variations, if we could just limit it to 25.
Yes, ma'am. And essentially what's going to happen is if we have to be held back to the 50, you're probably going to see all the houses shoved right up on that 20-foot setback,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have row houses. And it's just not going to be... I, as an architect, that's not something that I would want to see.
Frankly, I like the varying setbacks that you have rather than just a bunch of row homes.
Yes, ma'am. By articulating the street, you create positive space.
Right.
It makes it look more like a neighborhood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
I like the plan.
Right.
So I think the only reason we asked him to do 50, and I made the motion to do the 50 feet, was when you said you thought you could give that much.
Right.
You said it was possible. Now you're saying it's not possible, and I think we need to go ahead and get a nice looking development if it's coming into the city. Make it look nice.
Right.
And I'd rather see it staggered than I'd like to see it. All jammed up against the road, and then we'd be complaining about row houses.
Can we actually say in the ordinance then a 25-foot undisturbed buffer to provide for varying setbacks?
Yes, we can say that.
And you could stick with that?
Yes.
Yes.
That's okay with you all?
Okay. It is. She's saying yes.
Okay.
We can actually say that and hold them to that then.
Yes.
So we change the 25 to 50, from the 50 to 25 and say varying.
To provide for varying setbacks.
Varying setbacks.
Jane, was that a motion?
Mm-hmm.
I'll second.
No.
We haven't had a first one.
If I could clarify, as I understand it, you're also talking about doing that along the northern boundary of the property.
Right. Right.
Before
along
we...
two lakes and along the county property line.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the second reading and public hearing, so if there's anyone else in the audience that would like to speak, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration. Okay.
One of the questions that you had was why RS6? If you look, the lots really are an RS10 size lot.
That's what
it's
I was thinking.
The front footage that they have here, which is around 60 feet to the front, that would not fit with an RS10. RS6, you have the narrower lots, but they are a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do we have a motion?
Now, we need to have a...
Oops.
Do we need to alter the ordinance first and then...
It could be part of the motion, as I understand it. Condition number 2 would be reworded to say the plat shall show a 25-foot undisturbed buffer along the northern boundary of the subject property, and then the remainder of that paragraph, other than the 50 would be changed to 25, the remainder of that paragraph would stay the same. The remainder of condition number 2 would stay the same as it is on the amended ordinance that's before you.
And so I think we want to make sure we vary the...
Under number 1, you could say that with no more than 10 buildable lots with varying front yard setbacks.
Yes.
But in fact, he's really designed for 9.
Let's say 9.
Right now, so why not? The 9's okay, too.
Well, the reason we don't know how, again, we don't know how big that pond's going to have to be. That's when we get into the developments.
It might be that you can.
It might be that I can make that pond smaller and get another lot in there. So, we still want the 10 lots.
Okay, I'm going to try it. I'd like to move that. Do I amend the ordinance first, or do I?
You can simply move to approve on second reading the amended ordinance that's before you with the additional amendments that to condition number one being the addition of the language with varying front yard setbacks, and condition two being amended to show that there would be a 25-foot undisturbed buffer along the northern boundary of the subject property. And I think the record is now clear. You can probably just say I move what Gary Smith just said.
Okay.
I'll second.
I move what Gary Smith just said.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Okay.
Does that include what you were saying earlier?
Right, we put the setbacks in the number one priority instead of the number two. That's fine with me. It does seem that the 25-foot buffer is pretty much standard in that area, too. And the pond, how big is that going to have to be?
I mean, it's going to be as small as we can make it. Trust me.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Any other discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Darren. Item 3 is a second reading public hearing on ordinance to amend the concept plan for 1457 Silver Bluff Road. Mr. LaDuke, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance amending the concept plan for property located at 1457 Silver Bluff Road and owned by New Colony Partners, LLC. This project really could be entitled the New Colony Partnership. Let's see, is Philip Murray here? He wants to go ahead and reduce the amount of footage that we have primarily for the road right-of-way to go from 42 feet, which is the minimum standard we have, to 40 foot. We feel as a staff that this is fine because of the fact that there's going to be rear alleys in this particular area, and the rear alley could be a location where a number of the utilities could be planned. There's a couple other minor changes in the wording. The planning department and the planning commission presented this, and there was a unanimous vote by the planning commission to approve this. This is the second reading public hearing of an ordinance to amend the concept plan for the 45.5-acre single-family detached portion of development by New Colony Partners west of Silver Bluff Road and just north of Richland Lake Road.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is the second reading public hearing of this ordinance, and if anyone would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
We approve second reading. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Approval of this? Okay. Passes unanimously. Item 4 is the second reading public hearing of an ordinance to revise the concept plan for the village at Woodside. Mr. LaDuc, please.
Yes, sir. This, again, has a new ordinance in front of you that Gary Smith gave us tonight. The change portion that's different from the existing ordinance that you have in the package is underlined. So whenever a motion's made, just like was done before, if you just say, as per the new language, this is an ordinance amending the concept plan for property located in the Woodside Plantation. This primarily is, again, the village at Woodside. It's to allow on the street going out to Silver Bluff Road for parking to be along that area. Their intention is to have a heavily landscaped portion to make this more of a setting that you would have like in the downtown area where you'd have the larger store fronts on either side. Most of those are going to be 1.5 to 2 story buildings and give that village or downtown feel to it. Within the plan there are also several other open space areas. If I recall correctly, there's 60% open space. There's going to be some large playing fields in here that a number of events will occur. All this property is outside the new gate that they are also going to be entertaining. Council did hear this on their first reading at the last meeting. This is second reading public hearing of an ordinance to amend the concept plan for the village at Woodside to allow on-street parking in the village on the main entrance road from Silver Bluff.
Okay. Roger, one question. The part that's underlined here.
That's the part that was changed from
can I address that for council's benefit?
Yes, please.
Mr. Mayor. between first reading or after first reading, the planning department got a call from one of the neighbors of this property, and back in 2000, I'm not sure it was 2006, but when they came before council with a proposal to modify the concept plan at that time, you'll recall there was some discussion where the neighbor to the south of this property was concerned about the buffer and whether it would be disturbed or undisturbed and all that sort of thing. And council, in the minutes, it was clear that you made a motion, one of the members made a motion that called for that 50-foot buffer to be untouched, and that amendment never got into that particular ordinance. And so this is just a housekeeping to make sure that the whole concept plan looks like it's supposed to look, and Mr. Cunning was gracious enough to agree to allow this language to be incorporated into this ordinance. And so that's the reason this is in there, just to make sure that ultimately the concept plan for the village will comply with all of the ordinances that council has passed regarding this village.
Okay. All right. Very good. This is a second reading public hearing of this ordinance. I don't think I've already said this, have I? But if there's anybody out there that would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Move for approval, Mr. Mayor, of this ordinance amending the concept plan for the property at Woodside.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Passes unanimously. Okay. Item 5 is a second reading public hearing of the ordinance to amend the annexation agreement for Woodside Plantation Phase 4. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance to amend the ordinance annexing property owned by Hollow Creek Preserve, LLC. Hollow Creek Preserve is also known as Phase 4. When this went before council last August for the annexation, there was verbiage in there concerning what was the requirement of the developer concerning a traffic signal and the left turn lanes going into Anderson Pond Road. The left turn lane would be off of Whiskey Road, and there would be a left-hand turn lane necessary off of Silver Bluff Road. In this change to this ordinance for the annexation agreement, it basically is saying that the traffic signal, which is off-site, would not be required to be paid for by Woodside. If a signal is placed there, and there's a question whether it's even needed, that would be looked at when the Silver Bluff Road is widened. There's going to be a traffic signal at the entrance to the village, which is a little over a mile further to the south, and we feel, and so does our traffic engineer, that most of the traffic coming from Phase 4 especially, but even Phase 3, will go through that entrance and go out to the traffic light instead of going out to the main entrance at Woodside. We are still determining with our traffic engineer. We're going to be meeting with him on Wednesday to determine what the pro rata share cost will be for the two left-hand turn lanes. When that's determined, then the developer will write us a check for that work, and we will go ahead and put the left-hand turn lanes at the appropriate time. Or City Council, as we talk about these transportation improvement plan, may decide to go back to that developer and ask him to go ahead and have on each of the building permits a transportation enhancement fee to cover the cost for those left-hand turns. But we'll, number one, determine what that cost is, and then come back to City Council as to how that cost would be paid for those left-hand turns. But for your consideration tonight, this is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to revise the annexation agreement for Woodside Phase 4, known as Hollow Creek, at the reserve to pay for a traffic signal at the main entrance to Woodside Plantation on Silver Bluff Road. Again, we'll come back to you as to how the payment should be made for the left-hand turn lanes at the appropriate time, which will probably be either at next meeting or in March.
Okay, sir, thank you. This is a second reading public hearing of this ordinance. If anyone would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we amend the annexation agreement for Woodside Phase 4. so that they do not have to pay for an unwanted signal light at Woodside main gate.
Second.
Okay, we have a second as well. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Under new business, item one, purchase of property at 724 Abbeville Avenue Northwest. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have a piece of property that we would like council to consider the purchase of. It's at the northeast corner of Abbeville and McCormick. It's a vacant piece of property. We own several of the properties just adjacent to it. This will allow us to take the two lots that we own, the unused portion of Ligon and this property, and combine them together, and we think we could get four additional homes in this area. Also, when we talk about the future council issues later on, I'll talk to you a little bit about a proposed senior citizen housing project that we are hoping that we could bring to you at the next meeting. But before you tonight is a sales agreement for a approximately 96 foot by 75 foot lot for $15,000 at 724 Abbeville Avenue Northwest.
Okay, sir. Do we have a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we approve the purchase of the property at 724 Abbeville Avenue for $15,000.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Item two is acceptance of, for information only, of the Whiskey Powder House Connector Road Report. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. The committee, consisting of three city council members, three county council members, and three citizens at large, have been meeting for a year and a half plus to talk about where a connector road from Whiskey to Powder House should go, along with where should a parallel route to Whiskey Road also be planned. A lot of discussion went into this, a lot of time went into it on the behalf of everybody involved. You all got a really thick one that the county gave us. We did not make copies for the general public, but I do have some extra ones here if anybody would like to see a copy, or actually, Ed, can we give them away? Yes. I have a few extra ones here on the Whiskey Road Connector Study. It's a rather thick document, and that's why we did not make copies. But Ed had some extra ones, so again, if anybody would like to have one, I'll be more than happy to give you one. I'm asking that you not approve the study, but to accept it as information. The reason for that is twofold. There's quite a bit of discussion in here on other things that has to do with zoning, what kind of a roadway this would be, speed limit, just a number of issues that will have to be taken up at a later date, especially as this is included in the comprehensive plan and as we go further into the possible annexation of some of this property. But right now, all that property is outside the city. The second thing, as far as where the final alignment is going to be for this roadway, that'll be determined based on the environmental studies and working with the landowners that are in that area. I would fully imagine, or would at least hope, that they would give us the property for this new roadway. The third area comes in the fact that the study recommends that Powder House Road dead ends, that you cut it off and actually build a cul-de-sac, which I don't think the Highway Department is probably going to go along with that recommendation, but until, again, further discussions are held with the Highway Department, it's in the report, and so for that reason, I would ask that you receive this as information. Final details of this roadway will be developed over the next few years. But what it does give us here, it sets out a guideline as to approximately where that road should go. We can now work with developers and with the citizens of that area to start lining up to make sure that that area does not all of a sudden have residential property along it, and gives us an opportunity to sit down with them to obtain a lot of this property. So again, we're asking tonight that you accept the Whiskey Road Powder House Connector Road report as information.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to add one more thing to that, just to say with regard to the dead ending on Powder House, several members of the committee did in fact have serious reservations about that.
Very, very good. Okay, do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve this Whiskey Powder House Connect Road report as information.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item 3, approval of Horizons goals for 2007-2008.
Yes, sir. At the Horizon retreat we had about 10 days ago, a number of goals were developed. Basically, if you look at the two pages you have, the first page, except for some modifications, are the same goals that you have had for the last year or two. The second page is addition of some new goals, especially starting with number 10, which language 10 and 11 have been changed, and then from that point on there's some new goals that are here. We tried to capture to the best of our ability the verbiage that you had at the retreat. Certainly council could modify this, add to it. We always are open to deletion of some of these goals, but what I would like to discuss at this meeting. But we're asking that you would go ahead once we get done to approve these as the goals. We use this as part of our budget process and to look as to what needs to be done in the coming year.
Very, very good. Roger mentioned that some of these goals have been on there before, and that's so true. And that does not mean we haven't made any headway on them. Some of these goals are extended or extendable goals and would take several years to complete as well. The one goal, number one, the Hitchcock Woods drainage problem, we've been working on that for at least 16 years, working with Hitchcock Foundation and engineering departments and so forth, and finally we've got something that both sides could agree on, and there is money to get a good start on that. So,
and that goal has been modified dramatically from the year before, because we're now finalizing the design, and we actually have a solution for the Sand River that we hope to start construction this year.
And that's great. Mm-hmm. Not that people haven't been working on it with all their might, that's for sure. Okay, any comments about the goals, or do we have a motion and second?
Mr. Mayor, I apologize for leaving before you did all of this, but there are a couple of them on here that I did not hear discussions about. And if I could just get a little brief idea of what it's about. I understand about the nonpartisan election for council, but what about the retirement plan?
City Council currently has a retirement plan for council. Mm-hmm. The primary essence of it is you have to be here for 12 years on council. Mm-hmm. At the end of that time period, for those that are in a council member seat versus the mayor, there's a certain amount set aside every month that you'll get for retirement. And then I believe for every year after 12 years, you get $5 additional per month. That has not been looked at probably for at least 12 to 13 years, and I was planning on bringing that back to City Council to look at to see what modifications we might want to make in that plan, if any. The primary modification would probably be is $5 a month additional for each year of active service, still a good number, or should that be raised to a higher number?
What do they actually get now?
Anita, do you remember if is it 50 for council members and 100 for the mayor, or?
I think it's 200, right?
Okay, so yeah, I believe the mayor is correct.
Is that 200 or 2,000 or 20,000?
No. I think it's $100 per month for each council member, and then $5 additional per year. So if you're with the council for 14 years, that'd be $110 a month. The mayor does start at 200, and then he gets, I believe, also it's the $5.
$5,000.
So again, is that still a fair plan for retirement?
Don't quit your day job.
Now you tell me.
And the only reason this got brought up is we've talked about the salary situation for a number of years, and what I told the council that was there at the time at the retreat was, I really feel you're shortchanging yourself. That when I look at every council across the state, you are far and away the lowest paid council that I could find, except for some real, real small towns. And that the average salary is at least twice, if not more, than what you're now currently making. There might be individuals that decide not to run because they just feel like they can't. I would say that each year you are probably losing money just being on council. Just when you start taking and driving back and forth and answering the calls, not even and looking at the election portion of it. I really, I'd like to bring to council, and you all could decide then if you want to vote it up or down. Understand, if you do approve an increase in that salary, it does not go into effect immediately. Basically, what the state law says, if you approve yourself a raise, that raise goes into effect after the next election. So I guess the theory is, if somebody gives themselves a big raise, the voters could always vote you out. So whatever if you approve it, then that would go into effect in late November. But this gives you an opportunity to look at that. At the same time, we said, let's look at the retirement. And as long as we're looking at all these other things concerning council, do we want to consider a non-bipartisan election process? So they kind of all come together.
Mm-hmm. My other question has to do with number 16, the development of the EMT program. And I guess I am to assume that the order in which we have these is the...
There's no order on this whatsoever.
Priority.
That ends my questions then.
Okay. And this would be on number 16. We will probably go ahead and phase this in. Again, if council approves this in the next upcoming budget, it would probably be phased in the next couple of years. As there's attrition in the driver operators, we would then attempt to obtain individuals that had that EMT status. As I told some of the driver operators that were concerned that, does this mean I either have to become an EMT or I lose my job? The answer is no. As attrition occurs, then we would be phasing this in.
I was in a meeting and I mentioned several things that I thought we were looking at, and the one that got the most enthusiasm support was the one about the EMT. I think yes. People are really, really concerned about us doing that. Mm-hmm. Really want us to do that.
Especially the seniors, huh?
Yes.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear these aren't in to-do order.
Yeah.
I think number 18 needs to come up like now, next meeting.
Well, absolutely, and we've been talking about that. And
forever.
And also, and also the traffic management
right.
ordinance. And that's also on this other list that we're going to be looking at shortly, isn't it, Roger?
Yes.
So whether we decide on priorities tonight or the next meeting, we can discuss that too. Okay, do we have a motion and a second on these goals?
I move we approve these goals, Mr. Mayor, for the next year.
All right, I'll second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Pass this unanimously. Under petitions, request a set date for establishing the Planning Commission action agenda, meeting with the Planning Commission.
We've given you several dates here. This is your annual meeting that you have the Planning Commission. As was just stated, I think it was number 18 goal with the LP. That's part of it, this track and manage ordinance. We need to go ahead and meet with them and then set up the priority as to how to get this done. And even to the point of discussing with the Planning Commission, just like I'm going to be talking with you about having some extra meetings over the next few months so we get some things done, maybe the Planning Commission might have to meet a few extra times to get some things done. Mm-hmm. Instead of just having a meeting, sorry, just the second Tuesday of the month, maybe they need to meet the second Tuesday and the third Tuesday, or whatever they want to do is to move forward with some of these things. For instance, we've had the highway access control material for them for months, and they just haven't had time to get to it. A number of these issues, and they're now going to be adding two more issues at the next meeting, one concerning bed and breakfast, one concerning mini warehouses. But the LP would not be that hard to look at. The traffic management ordinance is not going to be that hard to look at. There's just a number of things, but it's a matter of time, you know, just finding the time. So what I'd like to do is to move this forward, and then those issues could be discussed at that meeting with the Planning Commission and to put the priority. I've given you four different dates. When you start looking at Mondays and Tuesdays, three of the Tuesdays a month are taken up by Planning Commission, Design Review Board, or BZA. So that's not a good time. And then the council, of course, meets twice a month. So you have here several times. Once you decide, then Ed's going to bring this to the Planning Commission tomorrow night to make sure that we'll get a large or good representation.
Okay, I can't meet on the 20th.
February,
the other three are
February or March 20th.
February 20th.
Okay. Yeah.
It actually says March
20th.
What about March 5th, the Monday?
The other three is fine with me.
Don, you haven't been much Monday?
I have a meeting on every one of these days, so it doesn't matter. Just pick one.
I could do it on the 5th.
And I did not have a Thursday. I mean, we could even look at Thursdays if you like.
Look at Thursday.
I can do any Thursday.
Don, can you
any Thursday?
Huh?
Any Thursday? Okay.
Well, you want to look at Thursdays? Everybody have a calendar?
I don't have a calendar.
On Thursday, February 22nd.
No.
Did I hear a no over there on the 22nd?
Jane can't.
No, I can manage. That's all right. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was looking at the wrong.
March 1st.
I really with it.
I cannot make it March 1st.
I think I have something on March 1st as well.
March
8th?
I can't do the 22nd.
March 8th? March 8th or March 15th?
I'm good.
Was March 5th a problem? March 8th is bad for me. But
15th is Thursday. All these are the 8th, 15th, 22nd of March.
What's wrong with the 5th?
Yeah, the 5th of what?
March.
You got something.
I don't have anything on the 5th.
No, you don't?
No, it's
you
the 5th. The 1st of March, I have something.
We're trying to find the time that Don can meet. Right, Don?
Don, can you do the 5th?
What time does your fire training start?
Which month are we on now?
March
5th. March 5th. That's fire training night, I believe.
I believe I can get an exception on fire meet.
We'll give you a written excuse.
Okay, yeah. So what date are we back to?
March 5th.
March 5th.
Monday, March 5th.
Okay.
You all want to do it like at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock?
6.
Normally it takes us about an hour to go through that meeting. You know, an hour and a half.
5:30 too early for people?
Not for me.
The better.
It's too early.
Huh? And you could,
I like 5.
We could have sandwiches or something.
Huh? I like 5:30
on the 5th.
Yeah, that
we'll buy sandwiches.
5:30 on the 5th.
You got that, Ed? Okay. 5:30 on the 5th.
Okay.
Well, we'll have a joint city council planning commission
assuming
meeting.
Assuming the planning commission can. That's a good day for them. Right? Okay.
I don't see an objection from the two Planning Commission members.
All right, for you, Ed.
That's
Monday.
It's a Monday.
Wilkins.
You got 2/7.
Okay.
All right, meeting. Just a second. Okay.
You got 2/7.
Okay, we don't have to. We don't have to vote on that, do we?
No.
The second item under petitions and request letter of support for DOE program and location of the GNEP facility in South Carolina. And that stands for Global Nuclear Energy Partnership.
Go ahead.
We have been approached and asked if we would support this. You know, we support SRS and just about everything that they've done, assuming that it's done safely, and I think over the years it's proved to be safe. This is a letter of support for... Let me read it. It won't take me but a couple of minutes. Energy independence in the United States is critical. Aiken City Council believes that in order for us to become less dependent on foreign energy sources, we must accelerate our commercial nuclear energy programs. But only by addressing the issue of waste from our current reactors and future reactors can our citizens feel comfortable that the waste will be dealt with in a safe and efficient manner with minimum risk of proliferation. Aiken City Council has reviewed the goals of the Global Nuclear Energy Partnership and is confident that this advanced nuclear fuel cycle development initiative is the proper way to handle this sensitive material. Additionally, the initiative is a responsible way to address non-proliferation concerns. The citizens of Aiken and Aiken City Council support GNEP initiative for our community in this region. Aiken City Council feels this is a win-win for our community and our country. Aiken City Council is comfortable with the safe, clean processing of this fuel in our state and our community. One of the region's important principles for SRS activities is that any nuclear waste brought into the South Carolina for processing have an approved pathway out of South Carolina. The GNEP program meets that objective. This is ample basis for a binding agreement with DOE on the matter, which protects South Carolina's and the region's interest against unwarranted accumulation of spent nuclear fuel. Aiken City Council and its citizens have a long history of support for the Savannah River site and its missions. We believe that the GNEP initiative at the Savannah River site is in the best interest of this nation and this state and our community. So that's, in a nutshell, that's what it's all about. If you want to read the details, it's in a book about that thick, probably. So we're saying that we support that. Everyone signed this letter as we normally write up a proclamation. Okay?
We need a motion, though.
So do we have a motion in a second to approve this?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve this letter of support for the DOE program.
Second.
Okay, we have a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Beverly, passes unanimously. Okay, we've added two items, the road improvement agenda, if you will, and then the miscellaneous, what I call miscellaneous future agenda items list. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. What we're going to discuss here has been something that we've been talking about for quite some time, and I really think is the foundation of the future for not only the community in Aiken, but also throughout the entire county, including North Augusta. I've had an opportunity. The mayor and I have been meeting with Chairman Young from the county and Clay Killian, my counterpart, for the last year, and recently we added Lark Jones and Charles Martin from North Augusta. And sometimes it may not seem like we're all working together, but in this particular area concerning transportation improvements, we all feel like-minded that something needs to be put together and something needs to be decided as to what the future of our community is going to look like. I have just put together an identification of 10 projects that I feel need to be completed by 2019. And I keep thinking, boy, it should be a whole lot better if it sounded like 2020. It sounds like a great number, but 2019 comes in because our 1 cent sales tax that we're currently operating under will end in 2011, and the next one starts in 2012 or 2012, and would continue for 7 years, 2019. So that's why we picked this particular time frame. And to try to project out for the next 12 years what improvements you need takes a lot of crystal balling at this point, but I felt there's 10 different improvements that we could identify right now, and there's probably going to be more. Some of these may be shifted somewhat. The cost obviously is going to be different. This is looking at more present day cost, but in looking at these 10 improvements, the Southern Connector, that's the one we were just talking about earlier tonight, the Potter House and North-South Connector, that's again what you just approved accepting, the Hitchcock Parkway widening, that'd be from Highway 1 up to Silver Bluff Road or from Blockbuster down to the Aiken-Augusta Highway. The Pawnee extension to Doherty. I included that one even though Council's already approved it and we have 100% funding from the city, but that's an improvement that will be made within that time period, and we're obtaining the last little bit of right-of-way on that. Whiskey Road improvements, that's closing up some of the driveways, putting some of the sidewalk, the streetscape, the street lighting, as we have started already from Centennial back north to Pine Log Road. University Parkway. This would be going from the bypass to Aiken Augusta Highway or Richland Avenue. That is currently a two-lane roadway, but as more and more students are going to school there, they get another dormitory, the hospital is enlarging their campus. But more importantly, there are 3,000 homes being built at Trolley Run Station just north of there, and where are they going to go? A lot of them are going to be going down University Parkway to the new Walmart and into downtown area. So that's going to need some widening. Whether that's three lanes, four lanes, we'll have to look at. Silver Bluff Road, right turn lane. If you're on Silver Bluff Road and you're coming from the center south area or from the Pine Log Road area and you're heading into town, currently where the signal is at Pine Log and Silver Bluff, down to Doherty Road on Silver Bluff, that backs up many times during the day. And something needs to be done with that portion of roadway to widen it to get a dedicated right-hand turn lane on a Doherty Road, just like we're going to be putting in two left turn lanes from Doherty on a Silver Bluff.
You mean in front of that shopping center? In that little shopping
center? There's a little shopping center. There's the Wife Savers, ballroom dancing, that little shopping center. A right-hand turn lane or something to turn right onto Doherty needs to be provided. The majority of the traffic is turning right, and it just backs up all the way to the other intersection, and many times you can't get through that intersection just due to all that backing up. Doherty Road widening, it's a very narrow right-of-way. You could probably get a third lane in there, but you could certainly improve the shoulder and do some other things to help Doherty Road. But really, between the two ends, I've never personally had a problem on Doherty Road. You have a problem at Silver Bluff, you have a problem with Whiskey, but in between, except for an occasional person turning left, it's not a problem area. Intersection improvements, Doherty at Whiskey and Silver Bluff. We heard at the last meeting about the drainage that has to be determined, and then we can move forward. That's already going to be funded by the arts program. The Robert Bell Northwest Bypass, major project going all the way from Highway 1, Richland Avenue, Aiken Augusta Highway, all the way back to 19. That's probably about 7-8 miles or so. With the 3,000 homes going in, the convocation center, and you know other improvements are going to be made along there, that road again is going to be very similar to the Hitchcock Parkway area, if not, in my opinion, even worse. No one's even talking about that, but again, we need to be thinking about that now before it gets worse. And then the Silver Bluff Road widening, I added that one. That is already in the planning process to go from the two lanes now to 3 to 5 lanes, depending on what's finally decided upon by the city and the county councils. So there's 10 projects. It adds up to total funding needed of $87 million. we have to determine where and how we're going to come up with $87 million. Part of it's going to be through the arts program. Part of it, the city has already set aside some money. But I'm recommending that the bulk of it comes from the future 1 cent sales tax. The county is going out for an engineering project right now to look at impact fees for residential property. They will then go ahead and determine, because again, if we do it with the city only, all that does is drives everything outside the city. So any impact fee is going to have to be looked at countywide, and again, it would be looked at from a residential standpoint. The reason we're not looking right now, at least at business, it could always be added in later, but the reason we're not looking at business is new businesses won't be locating in our area unless there's more homes. If there's not more homes, you're not going to have more businesses. So it's kind of like you're double taxing that by getting the homes and the businesses. So if you just hit the homes, it'll have the effect on the businesses too because of that. So we're looking at some kind of impact fee. I had put on page 5 approximately $500. That could be lower, that could be higher. That's something the county will have to determine. We've looked at a transportation enhancement fee. That's what we talked about with Woodside. Do we charge some of these developments a fee where their particular project is going to affect one of these roads that we're proposing? In this pure case, the Southern Connector or the Anderson Pond Road, you could have everybody in this new phase 4 that will be using that road be paying a certain fee towards that road, certainly towards those left-hand turn lanes. As a way, you could have any development in the future that's going to be using the Powderhouse Connector, that north-south connector going from the Powderhouse Connector to Centennial. That could be charged a fee in addition to an impact fee. So a specific area where that development will have a certainly an effect on a roadway improvement would be charged as transportation impact fee, an enhancement fee. Those are some of the proposals we have, but the bulk of it would come from the proposed sales tax. Over the next few weeks to the next few months, a lot of discussion could be held on this. We're asking that the City Council, Aiken County Council, and North Augusta Council approve this memorandum of agreement. The memorandum of agreement is stating that a certain percentage minimum would be set aside during the next 1 cent sales tax by each of those entities. In this case, we're saying 20%. I feel for Aiken, it's going to have to be at least 30%, and we could put 30% in here, but as far as the joint agreement between the three, North Augusta doesn't feel like they have as many projects as we do. So they have identified and said, well, we could support 20%. I think we're going to have at least 30% here. We may have 40 or 50% with the city if more and more projects are come forward. It also states in here on the second page, it says that the way the money would be allocated under item number one, it says based on the same way we allocated the other two, 50% based on location, 50% based on the number of homes or population that's in the area. Again, number two here says 20%. In my analysis, Aiken's going to have at least 30%. When we met with the chairman and with North Augusta, they all felt comfortable with what we have here. We'd be asking, and I would be presenting this to our council at the next meeting for formal adoption. But I wanted to go into this, let you ask any questions you may have, and to outline where we need to go. Once council has approved this, and we know that we're looking at the next 1 cent sales tax, having 30% of it going towards these funds, and we also know that we have over $1 million set aside in this 1 cent sales tax for the Powderhouse Road Connector, I would feel very comfortable, if council agrees, to bring forward another resolution asking us to move forward with the design process and engineering of that road So, which is going to take a year to 2 years, depending on what environmental problems you'd have. So by the time that road is near the completion of the design, we have obtained the right-of-way, we could then move forward with looking at, is this going to be on the next 1 cent sales tax? How much? And maybe possibly even start moving forward with the going out to bids on that project. I feel we just need to make some positive steps forward to let the public know that we're doing something, that we are taking this very seriously, and we need to take it to the next level. With this resolution before you, that's what I believe the memorandum of agreement will be stating and what our intention would be over the next several years. With that, I'm entertaining any questions you have.
Roger, this is a fairly small thing, but I wish we would check on two things. Item G, the Silver Bluff right turn. I may have missed something you said, but I think you and Jane were talking about as you're coming down from Center South to Daugherty, there needs to be a turn lane right on Daugherty.
Correct.
But I don't think it's in this price. I remember talking at a meeting I was in with the church folks and DOT, and Larry was there, and that subject was brought up. I think I brought it up at the time. I don't know. And the thought was, gee, we just add two more years onto the design of this project. Let's go ahead and get this lane, this right-hand turn lane coming out of Daugherty on the Silver Bluff.
Correct.
Let's don't hold that up anymore.
That's item number I.
And Silver Bluff right turn lane, Daugherty south to Pine Log. G, what is G then? Silver Bluff, right turn lane.
On a Daugherty.
Daugherty south to Pine Log. That allows the second lane going left, doesn't it?
Okay. And under item number I, let's go to item number I.
Let's go
first
to I.
Line.
Okay.
Item number I is the intersection improvements that we've been working on for the last several years. That would give you a double left-hand turn from Daugherty onto Silver Bluff and a double right turn from Daugherty onto Whiskey Road.
Okay, that's the second thing I wanted to get you to check, because I was told by DOE at that meeting that they didn't think the data that they collected warranted another lane going on to Whiskey Road from Daugherty at this time. They said if it did, you don't have enough right away anyway. You'd probably have to buy that bowling alley or do something with it. So that's just something to check. That would be a good idea. That is not a bad idea.
Okay, the other one under item G is Silver Bluff Road and widening Silver Bluff Road at Daugherty, so you could have a right turn lane from Silver Bluff onto Daugherty.
Okay, that's not what the words say.
Well,
it says Daugherty Road south to Pine Log Road.
Okay, forget about that portion.
I know what you mean now.
It says Silver Bluff right turn lane, and then I'm identifying where the right turn lane would be. It'd be from Daugherty Road.
The south end of Daugherty to Whiskey. Is that what you really mean?
No, it's from Pine Log Road to Daugherty.
Daugherty.
Okay, maybe we should put Pine Log north.
I think
of it
coming from Center South.
Okay,
is Pine Log going into Daugherty?
Would you prefer to say Center South to Daugherty?
Yeah. How about Pine Log to Daugherty? That's the right turn lane. Pine Log to Daugherty.
Okay, that's what I have here, but we could reverse and put Pine Log first and put Daugherty second.
I think that makes a difference.
Okay.
In my way of thinking, but who knows?
But you understand where that that's at?
I do now.
Okay.
Yeah, I certainly do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mayor. Right-of-way's a problem there, too.
The right-of-way's going to be a problem?
Yeah, we have to chop off part of that shopping center, the parking lot.
Yeah.
Either that or you widen the other side of the road, or right now they have a left turn lane going on to Oriole Cardinal area. They're going to have to look at that and see what's going to be the best way.
I haven't looked at it, but I remember a long time ago we discussed possibility of Pine Log just going behind the shopping center right into Daugherty.
Yes.
Can you imagine that?
Well, I don't know. Is there some empty land there or not?
There isn't. There's a couple of houses there.
You'd have to take out a lot of houses on Daugherty Road, I think, to make that work.
But to do the shopping center is going to be a beastly thing because the parking there and getting in and out of it already is extremely difficult.
Yeah. How are we going to do these things? I'm not coming up with a solution. I'm just saying that we've got a problem there. We've got to solve it.
I just raise it.
Right. Mr. Mayor, I have a question. The transportation projects you have at the $87 million level, what course of time are you talking about?
From 2007 to 2019.
2012.
Since no, it's 2007. Today, 2007 to 2019. That carries you through the next 1 cent sales tax period.
Okay.
And almost to the next one.
Mm-hmm. What about federal funding yet?
Well, and I hope that we'll get some federal funding based on the discussion we've had with some of the folks up in Washington. We're talking about maybe millions of dollars, not tens of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we could expect over a period of time, we might get a million here and a million there, which is a lot of money, but we're not talking anywhere. We just haven't seen that kind of funding where they give $10 million towards a project.
Why are places like Charleston and the other folks getting that kind of money?
I'm not too sure they're getting it. Now, the Interstate Bank funding and the Federal Highway Department gave money towards that Palmetto Parkway. But they generally on small local areas, they don't give large. That's just been the past.
Now, of course, Beverly has a good friend in Representative Clyburn. I think that's a linchpin there.
We talked about that.
Did you give him a copy of this list?
No, I didn't give him a copy of this list, but we did talk about that. It was a very interesting conversation because one of the ways you get, I guess I deduced that roads are built with pork.
What? Roads are built with pork. The pork builds roads.
Pork barrel. And look, all these things are not.
That's
pork.
My take on it is needed. That when you put certain things in the budget, that if it's considered pork, it does. It, once it's in the budget, and if you don't want it as pork, it does go somewhere else, and in other states and other people take it.
And we don't like pork.
We don't like pork, so we don't get it. I'm just saying to you that I heard something, a lot of discussions Sunday about entitlements and how all of that's changing. And so I did bring it up. I just said, you know, we just really... Right. I talked about ILS, and I talked about GPS, and I talked about several things. Right. And
when we went up to Washington, I think, in my opinion, we had our best discussion with Representative Clyburn's chief of staff. He was very attentive to us. He said, look, we'll work with you in any way we can. We'll work with Gresham Barrett and see what we can do to help. Mm-hmm. And I personally was very impressed and with that conversation. Now, you know, where it goes. But I think he was the most positive of any of the four or five staffers of other folks that we talked with. And he likes to help the community. He likes to help mm-hmm. his communities and his district. And so perhaps we can do something. As we all know, I think the money out of the infrastructure, state infrastructure bank, has gone to the Bobby Jones over these
years. It is.
And that's been planned since 73, so you see how long it's taken to get that project moving. So all the emphasis has been on that. So obviously it's time now that we get more emphasis on some of other projects, some of our projects. Incidentally, it might surprise you, may not, that of all this list of road work that we're talking about, 95% probably is in the county. They're county roads. Daugherty, Anderson Pond, going over to Powder House, even most of the bypass widening this county. And we do, as Roger mentioned, and I've mentioned many times, we do have a good working relationship with the county, the best I've seen in a long, long time. So, and that's good, because we need it. But we are working together on these. And
let me just add, too, Mr. Mayor, that you mentioned the district. Aiken County is not in Congressman Clyburn's district, but he bends over backwards to work for us to do whatever we ask, his staff, and NAFI with it helps us to have relatives living in Aiken County to support us as well. But as it relates to SRS and the missions there, he is extremely supportive and goes out of his way to support us.
We're trying to work all the various folks that we think can help us for legitimate projects. It's not pork, right? We don't have any pork projects.
I never thought we did, but, you know, I just think it's a hard sell.
Oh, it is. It is.
But we're hoping the city of North Augusta will support us because none of these projects are there, right?
Well, they're planning on passing this resolution and putting 20% in. They will be working with the county on joint projects in their area, and then we'll be working with the county on joint projects in our area.
Okay. That's my
question. Yeah, so to answer your question,
they're not going with the 30. They're going
with the 30. And they're not going to say, okay, we're going to give you some of the money, Aiken, and use on your projects. I'm fully expecting the county will set aside 30% of their funding. We set aside 30% of our funding, or it might be more. And that will have to be determined in around 2010 as to which projects we specifically want to have and how much of that one-cent sales tax will go for those specific projects, just as we did it about 3 years ago. But again, this gives us an initial listing of projects, what is needed today. Again, with inflation, those numbers are going to go up higher, and we'll need even more money. The $175 million, though, was considered looking at an inflationary factor. I put 3% a year. I took what we've been collecting for the last several years, added 3%, 3%, 3%, 3% to 2019 to come up with $175.
I would really like to say, Roger, I think you put a very good concept together, and I agree with the concept. I was privileged to sit in on one of the meetings. My only problem with it is there's too much reliance upon the sales tax portion and really too little on impact fees, and I don't know how we get that around, because I also accept the argument that the impact fee per se should be countywide, but I really think that we need to put more into the impact fee, because that's going to apply to all the new residences coming in to the city as well. And really, 500 is a piddling amount for impact fees, considering the amount of money that we really need over the next years. And so That's my biggest concern with it, and I'm not sure how you're going to make that traffic enhancement fee work. And I think specific example is, I guess, the on the Southern Transportation Enhancement Fee, where would that be coming from, essentially?
Most of that would come from Woodside, Phase 4.
Is it based on a number of related costs, or what? Where did you get the 400? Where did it come from? I'm sorry to ask it, but I think we need to know.
It's going
to
be, in each of these projects, it'll have to be an agreed upon number with the developer at the time that we decide to provide services. So in this particular case, the developer, Pat Cunning, will have to decide, does he give us a lump sum check to do some of the work, or is he willing to go ahead and give us a certain amount for these transportation fee to do some of the work? Mm-hmm. And There's no right or wrong answer in the impact fee. I could go ahead and show you impact fees that some communities have. They're well over $1,000 per home. Mm-hmm. And then many communities have no impact fee. I think the one thing we can agree on, though, after having discussions with the Planning Commission and then after having further discussions with the Planning Commission on a second meeting, it became very clear that if we stand alone as a community with an impact fee and the county does not go along with an impact fee, then we are the ones that are going to suffer. So any impact fee has to be jointly looked at, just like this joint resolution here is North Augusta, Aiken, and the county. At some point in time, there's going to have to be a joint resolution. Now, if you look, let's say that the impact fee was $1,000 per home, based on 1,500 homes per year being built. Last year in Aiken County, there was about 800 homes being built. Over the 12 years, that would raise $18 million. That's still only 20% of the $87 million that you need just in our area, not including what they're going to need in North Augusta. So impact fees are still going to never be, I mean, you'd have to charge $10,000 or more per home to go ahead and raise the amount of money that would be necessary. So impact fees can't stand alone to do this.
Oh, no.
And therefore, what's going to be reasonable that you could put on a home is something that's going to have to be decided by the county, number one, and then agreed upon by the two cities.
Yeah. Okay.
And again, this is just something to get discussion started. This will be on the agenda unless you tell me not to put on the agenda at the next meeting. But in the next couple of months, as we get to the next subject here on the future council issues, we really need to be talking about this over the next season of time, whether that's a few months or longer, how are we going to go ahead and fund these projects. This is just one part of it. I do believe that the transportation enhancement fees does not cover, as you said, Mr. Smith, everything we need, and how we come up with 400 or 750 has to be done on a case-by-case basis, but it also then provides some additional funding that can be related back to that development and the traffic that's being created by the development on a specific project that, once it gets built, enhances that project, the development.
And for instance, we're going to have, or we might have, it sounds like, a rather intensive project south of Anderson Pond Road, and I assume that they also would be asked to participate.
That is correct.
In the impact fee.
You know, and that's where if you decide at some point in time that Ron Monahan and the project that he's building is going to be within the city, then in that developer's agreement, I would suggest that they would participate in the cost, not just to clear and grub and to put a dirt road there, but each one of those homes would pay a portion of the cost of the new connector. Mm-hmm. And that would be agreed upon up front by that developer.
Will we discuss this more than once?
Okay, now what you'll have before you at the next meeting will be this memorandum of agreement.
Okay.
That's the first step.
With the list.
With the list that I have there. Then the next step is going to be, once we determine what the cost is for these left turn lanes with Woodside, I'm going to come back to you and say, do you want them to write a check out for this, or do you want to go ahead and ask that we come up with a figure that can be agreed upon that every home that's built in Phase 4 would pay towards the improvements on Anderson Pond Road and those left-hand turn lanes? And that what you decide there would be the foundation that you could then use for future developments as part of that transportation enhancement fee.
And when is the next one set sales tax voted on?
It'll probably be in 2012. It could be as early as 2010.
But I mean, I think this is where citizen input would be interesting. You know, do we want this enormous portion of our 1 cent sales tax to go to this? I mean, is this what we want?
And if the answer is no, then where would the money come from?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah.
And looking at the various scenarios, unless we raise taxes significantly, and the state's not going to give us the funding, the federal government's not going to give us the funding, it's going to have to come from some local source. And frankly, as the mayor stated, with all these roads basically being in the county, why should the city of Aiken be picking up the largest portion? It should be shared by everybody. And the only way you could share it is by having the 1 cent sales tax portion being shared by everybody equally.
Or larger impact.
There'll be plenty of time for discussion when that when that rolls around.
But
James,
right now, there's a good chance that 2010 it could be on the ballot, but no later than 2012.
Okay, we're ready to move on to the next item, the last item, the future council issues.
The last item, and I'm sorry this is an afterthought, but the mayor called and was asking a number of questions on projects and when, and we're going to go ahead and get moving forward on them. So I started putting together, what do we have scheduled in February? What do we already have scheduled? I keep a little diary as to all these future projects. And the more I start putting them down, the more I realize we have a lot of projects here. So I just wanted to go over them with you and to explain it. If you go about a third of the way down the sheet and start with the one that's marked February, and the first one's Pavilion Band Show. We have scheduled at that work session, the next one, they're going to come forward with the final proposal, explain it, and basically after that they're going to go out there and start raising the funds for this. So it's the last opportunity for council to give input before they move forward with a funding proposal. We've already talked about noise ordinance for February. Douglas Drive property, you know, we've talked about that several times. Met with Mr. Gingrey at least twice, maybe three times. Met with some citizens. It appears we're ready to come back with a proposal that'll be development on 4 acres with lots only funding on Douglas Drive, and then the city buying back the other 5 acres from him. So in other words, we'd be selling him 4 acres. We'd buy back the 5 acres that he already purchased. Therefore, you'd have about 7.5 acres left as open space on the development. And as some of you thought originally, all these lots would be having a driveway right directly onto Douglas Drive, no additional roads being built in there. That's the proposal that we're working on right now, and I hope to have that back to you next month. Senior citizen housing. We've been trying to work a project at McCormick in Hampton. If you recall, about a year and a half ago, we purchased a very run-down set of apartments in there. They were all abandoned, and we didn't know what we were going to do with that. Every year, the state allows a certain portion of money to be used under a tax credit program. People buy the tax credits. It reduces their tax burden, state tax burden. And we found a company who will build approximately 28 units in two-story configuration, and there would be for-profit with a manager involved with it. It would be for seniors only. The problem, and there's not a problem with the development, the problem is in the timing. The timing is such that they have to make their application by March 1st. They told us Friday that this property needs to have what they call site control, where they need to be able to go to the state and say, we're going to be able to have the ability to control and tell you that X number of units are going to go on this piece of land. But you haven't even heard about it yet until I put something in issues tonight. And they need to either, A, have a contract or an option of the property at the next meeting. And I told them, with our experience recently in the sale of property, I'm very reluctant to bring something that quickly to council. So there's been a lot of discussion with Lisa Segura and Bill Huggins and Richard Pierce as to, could we go ahead and bring to you an option that we intend to sell it to you if you meet the following different agreements. But we won't sell you the property or give you the property, however you're going to decide this, until we go ahead and have more time to think about it. I'm still not too sure how I'm going to bring that to you, but that's a pretty big issue. It's a $3 million development that'll go on a piece of property that we bought for a little over $100,000. And the taxes alone on it will be, well, I tell you, at least the other day, over $10,000 a year, $12,000 a year. So it's a great project for our community, but timing is real quick on these tax credit projects. So that's going to take some time at the next meeting to go over that and to get you something that you would feel at least comfortable to at least allow an option to be made on this property. Commercial rates, we talked about that. Larry's putting together that scenario on it, and that's going to be ready to bring forward. Whiskey Road annexation. Again, we basically had the map drawn. We're trying to figure out where the signage would have to go, but you have to go ahead and put up a lot of signage. Well, how do you put up signage over to indicate you're going to annex property over 4 miles? Two at each end with a couple in the middle, every half a mile. You know, and so we're looking at that, but we want to bring that to you as quickly as possible because we feel that's a very important issue. Next month, we're already looking at rental registration. We've been talking about that for over the year. Part of the reason we'd like to get that decided as to what you want to do is that's going to affect part of our budget. GVW wants to come and talk to you about their annexation or their incorporation of their large tract of property. And the fact that they have 7,000 people plus that they're going to be annexing would mean that we could object, but we can't legally object to it. We can give input to it, but if it's under 7,000 population, then you can even say, no, we don't even want the incorporation. So they're going to go ahead and show you this, get some discussion. We have some concern along the bypass on 1, 2, 3, 4 areas that we are currently serving with water and sewer. So there's going to be discussion there. The council salary, retirement, non-partisan election, again, is already scheduled for March. There was a lot of discussion at our meeting at Horizons concerning rate increases. What does that pay for? What about money left over at the end of the year? What should we use that money for? So I thought a discussion on that as to what that money is used for, why I feel we need it, and if the consensus on council not to raise certain rates, then I'll just leave that out of the budget. And then our budget hearing is scheduled for May 7th. That's where we'll sit down and go over very minutely the different elements of that. Then we get to the very top of this list here, tourism responsibility. What that means is, if you recall, about 3 years ago, a gentleman became president of the chamber and decided that they felt like the best place or responsibility for tourism was not with the chamber. I don't think we ever totally agreed with that, but we've been trying to run tourism out of our offices, out of Glenn's offices, for the last several years. We're now having discussions about, you know, really the best place for it is with the chamber, because 90%+ of the people that come to Aiken, where they go to the chamber. You know, they make a call to the chamber. You know, tell us where the best restaurants, where's the best places to stay overnight. What can we do? If they come to visit, they don't go down to Odell Weeks. They go to the chamber. So they're getting 90% of the traffic flow and phone calls, but they're not receiving any of the funding for it. And we think we could make a better arrangement with all that. I've had some discussion with Glenn, Dave Jameson. We're going to have some more. But that's going to be an issue that we're going to have to make a decision. Do you think it's best to be in the city's hands or the chamber's hands? We've also had discussion with SRS Museum that they're trying to develop in a building of around 40,000 plus square feet on site. But they feel that probably a storefront operation where people come and see what would be in this museum could best be located here in Aiken. So we're looking at various spots, and one of the spots could be over at the chamber. Again, it would be part of that tourism. So that's that tourism responsibility, and we're going to need to just sit down and talk about it. Attached single family.
Roger.
Go ahead.
under June's administration, those funds reverted to us, right? We have all the tourism dollars?
We have all the tourism dollars. Okay. We were at one time giving the chamber, back then it was about $60,000. Right. Now it would be up to about $80,000.
Okay.
Money that the state says specifically has to go whoever is going to be handling your tourism operation.
Okay.
Attached single-family housing. Late summer, early fall, we talked about it. The Planning Commission had made a number of recommendations. There's some major question on alleys, with the driveways, with the medians. You asked us to go out and get some examples to get more information. Ed's been making field trips. He just got back from, was the Bahamas, you said, and got some photos, some great photos of other communities and what they're doing. So we're ready to give you a PowerPoint presentation on that. But again, we're going to need probably an hour or 2 hours of your time. At the time, you said, let's just have a standalone meeting. We're just kind of waiting. Action agenda, we've already talked about that. A couple of the items, traffic management ordinance, the LP zoning, some of the other things that is on your goals need to be addressed and addressed in some other fashion. Traffic improvement funding, we just talked about that. After you pass that resolution, you know, I think we need to take it to the next level and talk about those transportation enhancement fees. Are there projects that we want to start looking at a little bit more in depth? Do we need to start having more discussions on where the heck is that Doherty or that Silver Bluff right-hand turn on the Doherty project even located at? You know, and start going and talking to the citizens, letting them know these are the projects that we keep coming up, and we're aware of it, we know about it, we're trying to get ahead the game here, and we need everybody's support with this. Four items for the downtown area. Downtown sidewalk sales. We talked about that probably about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of discussion with two antique businesses here. We feel our interpretation right now is you're not supposed to have any sidewalk items out there, but council debating it back and forth. We had recommended that ADDA be the sole entity and they could grant up to 10 sidewalk sales, I believe, a year. Currently it's 4. So again, there's a lot of discussion, but we've never finalized it. And so we've had one antique dealer who's had a semi-sidewalk sale since that time. And we need to decide where we're going to go with that. Downtown signage. You know, part of that study is being done. Again, what about a kiosk? What about some signage? How do we get the signs more visible? Talk about that. Newspaper boxes. Since we've talked about it, and Bill and I have had probably 15, 20 meetings with these folks. You've had only about half a dozen. And every time we have one of those meetings, it seems like we get into more discussion. Well, the long and the short of it is, since all of our discussions, I think there's now 20 or 30 more boxes out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're proliferating.
And they look
and they're getting bigger. And I believe there's one chained to a tree right in front of Lionel Smith's right now.
No, I don't think it's chained anymore. Ed, you were telling me how many? 200 and some?
The latest advertising for the home books advertising is now over 250 locations just for the home real estate books. But I think the council needs to address three things as far as I'm concerned. I think I've mentioned this before, Roger. Location, size, and number. And I think the thing that I find disturbing is the fact that, as Roger just mentioned, they're getting bigger. One real estate agency now has a box that I measured the other day. It's almost 5 feet high. It's 58 inches off the ground, and it's 3 tiered. It's bigger than any other box. Without any regulation on the part of council, you can invest a lot of dollars, there'll be more of them, they'll get bigger, and they will become more true. There has to be some kind of regulation. And I'm sure that there has to be some middle ground. And I think it's going to require a lot of cooperation on the part of these folks to put the boxes out. Self-regulation by itself, I don't think is going to work. Because of people being what they are, everybody's going to want to buy. But if you get out of packs, in front of packs, there are more down there now than there were last month. Out in front of the post office, there are more than there were last month. There are more in the outside.
comment, I think.
One of the Park Avenue by Andina, they're going to continue. And I don't think that that's an addition to our downtown area.
You're right.
So we have that item still to talk about. And lastly, we have a parking. You know, we had a study done last summer. Mr. Edwards gave an excellent presentation. Several of you heard it. The downtown merchants heard it. And we need to start discussing what changes do we want to have. The downtown merchants feel that the recommendations that were given by Mr. Edwards were good recommendations and need to be followed up on, primarily two-hour parking. You know, if so, where two-hour parking? Two-hour parking from what time in the morning to what time in the afternoon? Because you obviously don't need the two-hour parking in the evenings, at least not right now. With the rate it's going, we may. DeVore's is getting ready to open up soon. You know, they've already come back and said, are you going to allow any short-term parking? I said, well, that's, you have to request that by council. But, you know, do you even take a two-hour parking and now bring it onto Park Avenue? But, you know, there's just a number of issues that need to be talked about with parking. So we got four downtown issues, a number of other issues. Like I said, we'll be meeting on the action agenda. And those are just in the next few months. I didn't want to start getting to summer and fall.
I do have one question about something you mentioned earlier about the tourism responsibility. Mm-hmm. Barbara Gassman is working with us.
That is correct.
Okay, she's still with us. Now, wasn't there another person that's...
Sherry Clemens is... If you looked at Channel 4 lately, and I got to say, I'm not a big proponent of Channel 4 in watching it. I love Channel 4, but that's not just something I watch. I was telling Stephen Mueller today, to me, it's like watching paint dry. You know this, but it's gotten, Glenn and his staff, you've asked for a number of changes. In fact, Jan is out there. She's the one that said, hey, can you have more council agenda items and when meetings are and what's going to be on the agenda? So we went off and bought some new software for Channel 4. It's taken us a number of months to totally get trained on and understand it. But we're spending probably 20 hours a week now on Channel 4 just updating it constantly, because every week where we just used to have council members' pictures and a few other things, now there's really some good information. And we eventually want to start taking some of the films that we had of the horses and downtown and some of the other things and start putting those things there. And eventually I'd like to even get to the point where we're taking a game a week for soccer or baseball or the Hopeland's concert and having that on a regular basis. But we're spending a lot of time. So Sherry's doing primary Channel 4 and some other duties, and then Barbara Gassman's primary doing the tourism. And part, you know, if the chamber does, if we can work out an agreement, then that part of it would be with Barbara Gassman.
While you're talking about Channel 4, and I think we all recognize this, to me the problem is it's not interactive. You have to sit there and wait for something to come on, not knowing when it's going to get come on. And so after about 5-10 minutes, you get tired of just waiting for something to come on and don't look at it. If there was some way we could have a schedule of what's on there and about approximately when it's coming up, you know, I don't know if that would help or not. Something needs to help.
Well, Glenn and I are talking about where if you turn the weather channel, you know on the 8, you're always going to get your local weather.
That's exactly right.
And so one of the things we're looking at is on the hour or every 15 minutes, if it's the week of the council agenda, you'll see the council agenda, or it'll see the planning commission agenda, something. But we're still working out how do we get all those things done. But we think we could do it, and we're working towards that.
Yeah.
One of the things I'd like to say about Channel 4 is that sometimes for those of us that are visually challenged, when you put the script on top of something like a tree or people or those kinds of things, it's very hard for me to read. Sometimes if I'm on the phone, I may be watching Channel 4, believe it or not, just to see what's going on. Maybe even in the arts community, but it is hard to read when it's superimposed on top of figures and trees and those kinds of things. The coloring, I think, makes a difference.
Let me just add that it has significantly improved.
It has.
One.
Yes.
Secondly, Is it possible, I know that we change, we're constantly going back and forth with board members and commission members, but is it possible to list our board, our volunteers on various boards there? Is that too much to add to the channel? That's just an idea,
again,
because I was asked.
You know, like the mayor said, you know, do we want to get something where people will know that at a certain time, I mean, if you're really interested in the council agenda.
Is that our webpage?
Yes, you can get on the webpage. If we want regularity on these items, like you said, then we'd have to say on the hour or on the half hour, whatever it's going to be, which doesn't give us, because again, we have the school board, the county, and we just got a request from USC Aiken saying that they would like to go ahead and have some access. You know, being your city manager, the first thing I told Glenn is, tell me how much it's going to cost to go ahead and maybe we need to start charging these entities.
Absolutely.
For this thing, instead of just saying, fine, you have access. If the school board's taking 10% of our time, if it's costing us X amount of dollars to do it, then I think they need to share in the cost. Mm-hmm. Our software, I think, was $28,000 we just paid, something like that. This update we just made that allowed us a lot more flexibility. So we're looking at that. I think it's a great communication tool if you don't have to keep waiting to see what you want to see.
Mm-hmm. You can have a part of it with those standard things that are not going to change too often, you know, with your boards and whatever. And then you can have another section where you can change things, and it could be on some kind of menu where you know that, okay, Aiken Tech is coming up next, County Council coming up next, and so forth. And then when you finish all that, then you could put in things from time to time, week to week or whatever, okay. But leave those standards. You know, I think our best, this gets off the subject a little bit, I think our best communication tool that we have is the Aiken Report that goes out to every home that's on our water system every month. And you know, if they get the water bill, then they also get the Aiken Report. Now, you can't make them read it, but that's a good place where we can advertise anything. We can advertise these projects, transportation projects that we have. You know, you were talking about that a little while ago, Roger. It'd be nice to get citizen input. And we're doing some of that. But we could continue to do that and even enhance it a little bit. I think even if we had to add another page, at least you're getting word out, it's getting in their home. Now, whether they read it or not, that's something else. They got to look at the water bill anyway, as opposed to something like Channel 4, which you don't know when it's coming on. I think that's the best communication tool we have.
I'll tell you, I want to thank Wes, too, on that website.
That's good.
I didn't know how to do audio minutes. And do you know we can listen to anything now on our own computer?
Council has asked for some changes and to be more communicative, and we're working on that.
And he's really helped me because I couldn't have done it on my own.
I think you've come really a long way. I would say, however, about the television, the cable site, Channel 4, we got to be careful that the information highway doesn't become like Whiskey Road. It gets too crowded, and you can't really figure out. People don't watch it at times if there's too much.
Right.
And that's really, we've got to be selective about what we're trying to communicate, not just put everything there because we can do it.
And that's kind of why you need to know if possible.
Yeah, but even then,
what's coming on about all the time?
You could wait an hour or just to...
Yeah, but you can do other things. If you know about what time it's coming on, maybe you can go, do other work and then come back.
It really gets a lot of work involved.
One of my favorite channels I like to watch is Entertainment Sports Network, better known as ESPN. And at the very bottom of the screen, they keep showing the next sports category that's coming up. And so you can anticipate you want to see. And there might be things that we could do in that vein. So anyways, this future council.
Before you close the window there, I had come to you and the mayor some time back regarding special consideration, special requests. as we talk about our channel and the availability of that space to provide information to the public regarding alternative fuel. And as we continue to discuss that topic, perhaps we need to revisit the by using that avenue to sell some time to have those kinds of information so that the public can view. Mayor, I sent you a tape. You said it was too long. We need to make it shorter.
Right.
And but
then you're opening up a door there and to other companies as well. They may want to advertise something. But I'm wondering if there's anything legal involved with that. If we're getting the channel free.
If you start opening it up to, it makes it difficult for the city to pick and choose. You know, it's one thing to have various governmental entities coming on there, but then to open it up to a company that works for a profit,
yeah,
and then to say they can do it, but then to come back and say that this company can't do it makes it difficult to do that.
That's right. Well, how do you stop it once you start it?
So here are these issues. I guess what I'm asking you tonight would be if you would like to see any priorities in some of these, and probably if I ask each one of you differently, separately, you'd probably all have different priorities. The best way to do this would be if council would be open to it. I'm not relishing having more night meetings myself, but to have some additional night meetings, or we could even do it in the past. We've sometimes did it in the morning. I will say that the attendance in the morning, though, it doesn't seem to last as long. You know, we get to a certain period in the morning and people have to go. And also the attendance is not as great as we generally get in the evening. But I'd like to see if council is open to it, that starting in March, you know, we got the action agenda on the 5th, but if I could suggest some other dates at the next meeting that we could bring in and cover some of these other issues.
That's a good idea. We certainly need to prioritize these in some fashion the next time we talk about it. I think that the newspaper boxes have gotten to the point where that is critical. I really do. I think that's got to be one of our top priorities, along with this attached single-family housing and the transportation. That's not on here, I don't think, is it?
Traffic improvement funding is what's meant to be.
The transportation, yeah.
Or you're talking about the traffic management ordinance.
Yes, yeah.
That's got to go through the Planning Commission first.
Right. So we've got to get that on the priority list for them, for the Planning Commission. And that's something we talk about when we meet together. Well, we've got a lot. You know, we're fortunate, though, I think, of having these things. It could be the other way around. There are over 100 towns and cities in South Carolina that have only 1,000 people in them, and many of those are just going downhill fast. So it's an exciting time. Right? All right. Everybody ready to go home? Okay. Stand adjourned then.
I know you have to stay a little bit longer. However long it takes.
Hi.
However long it takes.
I know it. You're so loyal.